दादाजी चार्ट।
Is anyone wants to introduce? हरे कृष्ण।
हरे कृष्ण माताजी, माताजी दिस इज आकांक्षा ऑल गर्ल्स श्री प्रभुपाद ऑल गर्ल्स श्री गुरु महाराज आई एम वेरी एक्साइटेड फॉर अमरेंद्र प्रभु क्लास। हरे कृष्ण, थैंक यू फॉर ऑर्गेनाइजिंग।
हरे कृष्ण आकांक्षा माताजी, धन्यवाद प्रणाम आगे श्री शिल प्रभुपाद एंड गुरुदेव, थैंक यू सो मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग।
या हरे कृष्ण माताजी, शुड आई कॉल हिम माताजी, इज ही ऑन द कॉल?
Mataji, Prabhu is already on the call, Mataji.
Oh, so he is not speaking.
Yeah, that's what I am saying. Prabhu is there on the call.
Okay, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hey, Krishna, yeah. Mataji. I'm on the call.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. So, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today, we are very fortunate to have His Grace Amarendra Prabhu to enlighten us on the topic. Today's topic is very special, and the topic is a saint who walked past earth. So, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable association and time. We are very fortunate to have you on the call, and everyone is waiting to hear Krishna Katha from your lotus mouth. So I would like to hand over the call to you, Prabhuji, now. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, you're on mute.
Yeah, Prabhuji.
Sorry. Yes, sorry, I was on mute. Before I begin, I just want to make a couple of points. The first being, I'm very glad that there are devotees joining in who generally don't join in. They're also joining in today. But what pains my heart is, I know maybe this is out of excitement or maybe this is out of innocence, but the consciousness should not be speaker specific. It should be katha specific. We are here devotees of Krishna. We are not devotees of any specific person. We are not joining to hear katha from someone. That is not our mood. Our mood is we have to join to hear Krishna katha. It is always Krishna katha. Whether A speaks or B speaks or C speaks, it's always Krishna katha. So I just thought this is very important for devotees to think. We don't want to create a celebrity consciousness. We don't want to create unnecessary we don't want to create unnecessary idol worship. You know, when we say idol worship, not the murti, but creating role models. We don't want that. I understand it's maybe out of very sweet innocence and sincerity, but let us not create unnecessary celebrity status. We have come to ISKCON in the association of devotees to become purified, to become humble, to serve Krishna. So our mood should always be that whether it is A or B or C or D, every day we want to join. And even if we have desire to hear Krishna Katha, we must make sure that it is not centered on one person. The sincerity means we are interested in Krishna Katha, the content, the flow, the current flow of devotion, more than one specific person. Now, I want to ask this question. If for example, tomorrow I go off track, I am, you know, found taking bribes somewhere, or I have some illicit fall down, or I just leave Krishna consciousness. So does that mean we will give up hearing Krishna Katha? Would we stop hearing Krishna Katha? If yes, then we are really on the wrong track. Really on the wrong track. We as conditioned souls, we will fall down with time if we are not careful. And if we are following only such examples, then when the person falls, our faith also gets shattered our confidence in Krishna consciousness gets, we feel cheated, because the person whom we were idolizing is not in devotion anymore. So we will start thinking then, oh, what am I doing? Even I should leave. I think this consciousness needs little tuning. Even if A is having difficulty tomorrow or B is having difficulty, my taste for hearing Krishna Katha from C or D should still continue. Because Krishna will never fall down. Krishna Katha will never fall down. Krishna Kirtan will never fall down. The current of pure Vaishnavas will never fall down. So if we are person specific, and if that person leaves Krishna consciousness or has a spiritual difficulty or fall down because of offensive mentality, then our trust is completely broken. So maybe it is a very strong, heavy point early in the morning here in America, but please forgive me. It is very, very important that we become content specific and not speaker specific. We may have affection, we may have some inclination towards a specific speaker or specific facilitator or a specific medium of Krishna Katha. But we must make sure that by hearing from that person, our taste in Krishna Katha goes more than our interest in idolizing and celebritizing that specific person. So this is the first point I wanted to make before we start. And the second point is, I really wanted to thank Shyama Gauri Mataji and other devotees for very kindly, very affectionately inviting me and having me this morning at the service of the Vaishnavas. It's a very, very auspicious day. So without much delay, I just want to very quickly for a minute or two chant Jai Radha Madhava and begin. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari, Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari, Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari, Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari, Yashodanandana Vraja Janaranjana, Yashodanandana Vraja Janaranjana, Yamuna Tiravana Chari, Yamuna Tiravana Chari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari, Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari, Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari, Yashodanandana Vraja Janaranjana, Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gurudev ki jai, Ananta Koti Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Nitaya Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmelitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, I really want to welcome all the assembled devotees for this discussion. Today is a very, very auspicious day. Today marks the disappearance tithi of Sri Akreshwar Pandit, a very intimate associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line. Today also marks the disappearance day of Sripad Aindra Prabhu, a very dear associate of Srila Prabhupada in his Nam Sankirtan revolutionary movement. So we will discuss with the time that we have a little bit of both these personalities. Actually, the story of Akreshwar Pandit with respect to his mercy on Devananda Pandit is very beautifully and elaborately described in Chaitanya Bhagavat and other places. And at the same time, the beautiful, wonderful pastimes of Aindra Prabhu are also very elaborately explained by his associates. So both of these topics can be individually taken and they will last for at least an hour or two each. But since we have about 1.5 hours, I'll briefly try to touch on both of these personalities. As far as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's very dear Vakreshwar Pandit is concerned, the Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, which is actually a very beautiful book mapping the identities, the eternal identities of the associates of Mahaprabhu in their pastimes with relation to Krishna, is mentioned. This book, Gaur Ganodesh Deepika by Kavi Karanapur, is very celebrated and gives very interesting connections of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when we say that Lalita Sakhi appeared as a certain associate, Vishakha Sakhi appeared as a certain associate, Rupa Manjari appeared as a certain associate of Mahaprabhu, when we make all these connections, on what basis are we making? We are making on the basis of this book, Gaura Ganodesha Deepika. Deepika means a lamp. So it's a lamp which illuminates the place with lightness, or with light and with radiance as far as the eternal identity of the associates of Mahaprabhu are concerned. We know that Gaurangera Sanghi Gane Nitya Siddha Balimale. Narottam Das Thakur has said that the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaurangera Sanghi Gane Nitya Siddha Balimale, they are all eternally perfected beings. So those associates from Vraja, Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwaraka, and even Vaikuntha, coming and participating in Sriman Mahaprabhu's chanting and dancing Sankirtan movement, that mapping has been done very transcendently in the Gaur Ganodesh Deepika. So let's see now what the Gaur Ganodesh Deepika mentions as far as the eternal identity of Vakreshwar Pandit is concerned. The Gaur Ganodesh Deepika explains, Vyuha Turyo Niruddhoya Savakreshwara Panditaha Krishna Veshaja Nrityena Prabho Sukham Ajijanat Sahasra Gayakan Mahyam Dehi Tom Karunamaya Iti Chaitanya Padecha Uvacha Maduram Vachaha Swaprakasha Vibhedena Shashirekha Tamavishat. It has been mentioned that Vyuha Turyo Aniruddha Yaha, that Vasudeva, Sankarshana, Aniruddha, and Pradyumna are called as the quadruple expansions. The Supreme Lord manifests in these four forms: Vasudeva, Sankarshana, Aniruddha, and Pradyumna. They have been explained in great detail in Srimad Bhagavatam as the primary and the secondary quadruple expansions. And also in other places, it has been mentioned that the Supreme Lord, whenever he appears in these four forms. So we can see how in Ramchandra's Leela, Vasudeva, Sankarshana, Aniruddha, Pradyumna have appeared as Ram, Lakshman, Bharata, and Shatrughna. Similarly, Chaturdha Murti, because it's the occasion of Rathiyatra and Sri Jagannath Dev, we know that the Lord has appeared in these four forms of Jagannath, Baldev, Subhadra, and Sudarshan. However, it is not to be mentioned that Jagannath, Baldev, Subhadra, and Sudarshan are the quadruple. That's not what we are mentioning. We are mentioning that it is a culture where the Supreme Lord appears in four forms. So therefore, Jagannath, Baldev, Subhadra, Sudarshan are also called as Chaturdha Murti, appearing in four features. So in those four quadruple expansions of Vasudeva, Sankarshana, Aniruddha, and Pradyumna, it has been mentioned that this Aniruddha expansion, Vyuha Turya Aniruddha Yaha Sa Vakreshwara Pandita. That Aniruddha expansion of the quadruple expansion appeared in Mahaprabhu's Leela as Vakreshwara Pandita. And also, Krishna Aveshaja Nrityena Praboho Sukham Sukham Ajijanat. Ajijanat. Praboho Sukham Ajijanat. The Supreme Lord developed so much happiness. Praboho means the Supreme Lord. Sukham, happiness. Ajijanat. We know Janani, she who gives Janma, appearance. Ajijanat. So there used to be appearance in the of happiness in the heart of Sriman Mahaprabhu. How? Krishna Aveshaja Nrityena. Vakreshwara Pandit was known as the transcendental dancer in Mahaprabhu's dancing party. Just like we know there are different associates of Mahaprabhu who stand out for different transcendental qualities. Whenever we talk about Haridas Thakur, we talk about his unflinching faith in the chanting of the holy name. When we talk about Sanatan Goswami, we talk about his supreme Dainya Bhav, his humility. When we speak about Ramananda Rai, we speak about his extreme sense of sense control. Similarly, when we talk about Vakreshwar Pandit, we speak about his ecstatic dancing. So Krishna Aveshaja Nrityena. Whenever he would dance, Aveshaja. Avesha means ecstatic feelings or deep mood of ecstasy caused by Krishna, Krishna Bhava. Ja, Janma means the eruption of ecstasy in his body because of Nritya. When this was perceived by Sriman Mahaprabhu, Sukham Ajijanat. Mahaprabhu would feel very happy seeing the ecstatic dancing. So it's not just ecstasy, it's not just dancing. He had ecstatic dancing. When Vakreshwar Pandit would dance, all the different transcendental symptoms of ecstasy would erupt in his body. And we will see that in a few minutes from Chaitanya Bhagavat. Then it is mentioned, Sahasra Gayakan Mahyam Dehi Tom Karunamaya. Vakreshwar Pandit, whenever he would dance, he would fold his palms and tell Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I want to continuously dance. I want to continuously dance. So sometimes devotees were singing, they would get tired. So Vakreshwar Pandit's spirit of dancing, his ecstatic mood of dancing would continue. But the singer who would sing for his dancing would get tired. So they would take turns to sing and Vakreshwar Pandit would continue dancing for as long as even 3 days, 72 hours of non-stop dancing. And sometimes it is described when Vakreshwar Pandit would start dancing, Sriman Mahaprabhu would take over the singing. So here it is described when devotees would get tired. At that time, Vakreshwar Pandit would tell Mahaprabhu, Sahasra Gayakan Mahyam Dehi Tvam Karunamaya. Tvam Karunamaya, O dear ocean of mercy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please Sahasra Gayakan Mahyam Dehi. Please give me thousands and thousands of Gandharvas to sing. Let them sing in the kirtan, thousands, because if one gets tired, the other can sing. And at the same time, Gandharvas. Gandharvas are celestial heavenly singers who sing. Someone says that the audio is clear, but the video is not clear on Zoom. Is that so? My audio and video both are switched on. Okay. Other devotees are saying everything is fine. Okay. Thank you. So here, Vakreshwar Pandit would tell Mahaprabhu, Sahasra Gayakan Mahyam Dehi Tvam Karunamaya. O ocean of mercy, please give me thousands and thousands of Gandharva singers so that they can have celestial voices and at the same time, they can continue for a long time in quality and quantity. Iti Chaitanya Padecha Uvacha Maduram Vachaha. With very sweet words, Vakreshwar Pandit would beg at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that if there is one thing you want to give me, please kindly give me thousands and thousands of Gandharva singers so that I can continuously dance for your pleasure. Also, Gaur Gonadesh Deepika describes that Swa Prakasha Vibhedena Shashi Rekha Tam Avishat. Tam Avishat. In his body, there was also the presence of one more pure Vaishnava or Vaishnavi. That is Shashi Rekha. Shashi Rekha is a very dear associate and sakhi of Radharani. So, Swa Prakasha Vibhedena. As far as the connection to Vishnu or Krishna is concerned, Aniruddha expansion is Vakreshwar Pandit. And as far as relation to Radharani is concerned, Shashi Rekha, a dear associate sakhi of Radharani, entered. So, their bhavs have come together as Vakreshwar Pandit. So, this is the eternal identity given in Gaur Ganadesh Deepika. Now let's hear what our Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes in the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrit, Adilila, chapter 10, text 17 onwards, on the glories of Vakreshwar Pandit. Vakreshwara Pandita Prabhor Bada Priya Bhritya Eka Bhave Chobisha Prahara Jayanritya. He has said Vakreshwara Pandita Prabhura Bada Priya Bhritya. So four adjectives have been used. Three adjectives have been used. Bada, Priya and Bhritya. That Vakreshwara Pandit was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Bada, Priya, Bhritya. Bhritya is servant. We are all Mahaprabhu's servant. Ekale Ishwara Krishna Arasabha Bhritya. Yare Yaiche Nachayite Taise Karin Bhritya. So we are all Mahaprabhu's servants. And the way he makes us dance, we dance. But we dance helplessly. In the sense that we don't want to dance to the movements of Mahaprabhu's planning. So here the dancing is very, very important. When we say Vakreshwar Pandit was the dancer in Mahaprabhu Sankirtan, it is not simply the fact that he was an external dancer. It's not that he was just an artistic, very capable, very talented dancer externally. What was actually dancing was his bhav. What it means is that when Mahaprabhu changes plans in our life, when Krishna is ready to change plans in our life, and if we are lovingly ready to dance to his plans, then we are walking on the footsteps of Vakreshwar Pandit. We are all servants of Mahaprabhu. We all have our individual thought process. We call ourselves Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishnera Nityadas, Krishnera Tatastha Shakti Bheda Dhe Prakash. We say that we are eternal servants of Krishna and we are Tatastha Shakti, we are marginal potency, etc. But how many times are we acting as eternal servants of Krishna? We say that on the tongue. But as far as real life is concerned, we have our own plans. And we come to Krishna so that he can bless us in the success of our plans. So we don't want to come to Krishna to align to his plans. We want Krishna to align to our plans. So we want Krishna to dance to our tunes. And we are ready to dance to his tunes. We may dance in Kirtan for about half an hour. But remaining 23 and a half hours, when Krishna changes dynamically, so many inconceivable reversals in life, are we ready to dance to his tunes is a question. When there was a reversal in the life of King Indradyumna and he was cursed to become Gajendra, he continued dancing to the will of the Supreme Lord. When Huhu Gandharva was cursed to become the crocodile, he continued dancing in this reversal. When Chitraketu Maharaj was cursed to become Vritrasur, he continued dancing in this reversal. Srimad Bhagavatam has shown us that devotion means ready to accept reversals without rehearsals. This is a very important term. Devotion means ready to accept reversals without rehearsals. Now, Krishna is not going to come and tell us that, okay, you please plan for this. Please, let's rehearse once. I am going to curse you. Now you see, you act as if you're going to take it. Okay, take enough time to sink this point. He doesn't give us rehearsals in life. The reversal goes like this. The cat opens its mouth and holds the parrot. The parrot may chant Hare Krishna with its beak externally, Prabhupada mentions. But as soon as the cat holds the parrot in the mouth, it starts shouting. So there was no rehearsal before this reversal. If the chanting in the beak of the parrot was genuine, even when the cat would catch, what would come from the lotus beak of the parrot would be Hare Krishna. Prabhupada also, we see, Nachao, Nachao, Prabhu, Nachao, Se Mate. Kashtera Puthali Jata, Nachao, Se Mate. Nachao. See, again, the point is Nachna, to dance. So dancing in Kirtan is in this meditation, my Lord. Now, of course, I'm dancing in happiness because of the movement of the melodies or the use of the instruments. But my Lord, when life pokes needles or spears or javelins in my body or in my mind, as far as reversals are concerned, I am not able to dance to your changing tunes. Please give me that benediction. So today, on the disappearance tithi of Vakreshwar Pandit, who's a celebrated dancer in Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement, we should pray to him that if not externally dance gracefully in Kirtan, because, you know, not all of us are dancers and not all of our bodies are in rhythm and in sync and in balance when we do Kirtan. Fortunately, Prabhupada has given us the Swami step. So even if we don't know to dance, we can at least move side to side, which is simple. And when the kirtan picks up, we jump. This is the standard dancing. But at least we should pray to Krishna that when reversals are thrown at me, my Lord, let me be able to see your hand. Let me be able to dance to your tunes. Let me be able to dance to the words of the spiritual master. One disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Saraswati Thakur, wrote very beautifully, Vilasatu Ridinityam Bhakti Siddhanta Vani. That may the teachings of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur eternally dance in the courtyard of my heart. Which means when reversals are given in life, may those instructions dance in the courtyard of my heart, helping me to dance and align myself to the will of Krishna. Very, very important. Now the word vraja, as we know in Sanskrit, vrajanti, the root word vraja means to wander, to walk from one place to another. So in Vrindavan, everyone walks. So therefore this land is called as land of vraja. You do parikrama of Vrindavan, you do parikrama of Radhakund, you do parikrama of Govardhan, you do parikrama of Barsana. That is the external walking. But a true vrajvasi is he who can walk according to the changing dynamic plans of Krishna. Krishna keeps changing his plans constantly. There is constant change in plan. Mahaprabhu, constant change in plan. Even Srila Prabhupada, constant change in plan. And the associates of Prabhupada were really swift on their lotus feet to make changes. Sometimes Prabhupada would say, yes, this is what I want. But then very quickly he would say, this is what I want. So instead of thinking that, hey, wait a minute, why is my Gurudev changing plans? Why is Krishna changing plans? We should be convinced that they are actually trying to test how surrendered we are. Because if we are not surrendered, we cling on to our ideas. And even when life changes, path changes, decisions changes, the trajectory, the path, route changes, we are holding on that I still want it, I still want it. We make our plans in life, but Krishna can switch it inconceivably and just to align. Say, my Lord, if this is what you want, I wanted this, but you want this. So I will give up this and align to this, because to keep you happy is the desire of my heart. So Ashlishyava Padaratam Pinashtumam Adarshanan Marmahatam Karotuva Yatha Tathava Vidathatu Lampatu Matprana Nathastu Sa Evana Para is actually an expression of dancing. Mahaprabhu always danced. In all the temples he danced, telling the devotees that whatever the devotees want is what we want to dance to. Whatever Krishna wants is what we want to dance to. Mahaprabhu being Radha Krishna Abhinna Swarup, why does he want permission from devotees? Please let me go to Vrindavan. Please let me go to Vrindavan. Kaviraj Goswami has said, Svatantra Ishwara Prabhu Nahi Nivaran Bhakta Gana Ichha Vinu Na Karegaman. That although Svatantra Ishwara, he is Svatantra, he is completely independent, and Ishwara, he can control others, still Nahi Nivaran. Still he doesn't take any decision of his own. Bhakta gana ichha vinu na kare gaman. So therefore, without the wish and the desire of the devotees, even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't take a step out. So therefore, we should always have a siksha guru. We should always have diksha guru. We should always have our superiors. And in all problems of life, they are the persons whom we should look up to. I am stuck in this problem. Please help me. And then whatever they say is what we should accept. If we are arrogant, if we are stubborn, if we are not obedient, if we are not surrendered, then we may externally dance in kirtan, but we are actually not dancing. We are actually not followers of Vakreshwar Pandit. So here, Adi Leela Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions, he was dancing externally, but internally, Bada Priya Bhritya. He was a servant. He was very dear to Mahaprabhu. Not just dear, very dear. Bada Priya Bhritya. So we want to become like that. Eka bhave chaubisha prahar jaran ritya. Chaubisha. Chaubisha, we know, is 24. And prahar is 3 hours. So eka bhave, in one mood of devotion, he could dance 24 times 3, which is 72. 3 days jaran ritya. He could dance constantly. Prabhupada writes very beautifully in the purport that when Mahaprabhu used to have his sankirtan at Srivas Angan, he would have very nice dramatic performances also. And at that time, the chief dancer was always Vakreshwar Pandit. Vakreshwar Pandit was the one who would always lead the steps and everybody would follow his steps. In fact, Prabhupada in the purport quotes that a very dear associate of Mahaprabhu by the name Govinda Das from Orissa, he has written a very beautiful book called as Gaura Krishna Udaya. in which he has described the wonderful transcendental qualities in character and his the mood of surrender and obedience that Vakreshwar Pandit had to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kaviraj Goswami continues, Apane Mahaprabhu gai jara nritya kale prabhura charana dhari Vakreshwar bale. That when Vakreshwar Pandit would dance, Apane Mahaprabhu gai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sing, jara nritya kale, when Vakreshwar Pandit would dance. And at that time, when Mahaprabhu was singing and Vakreshwar was dancing, one day, prabhura charana dhari Vakreshwar bale. Vakreshwar spoke to Mahaprabhu, holding the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. Dasa sahasra gandharva more deha chandra mukha tara gae mui nacho tave mora sukha. Dasa sahasra gandharva more deha chandra mukha. Oh, chandra mukha, which means, oh, moon-faced dancing lord of my life, Sri Chaitanya. Dasa, thus means, you know, 10, and sahasra means 1,000. 10,000 gandharvas I need, my lord. Tara gae mui nacho tave mora sukha. When they sing, only then I will be happy, as we mentioned previously. And at that time, Mahaprabhu said, Prabhu bale tumi mora paksha eka shakha, akashe udinama jadi tai arapakha. He has described that, oh, Vakreshwar, you're actually one of my wings. Mahaprabhu has compared himself to a bird. He said, I'm like a bird and you're one of my wings. If I get one more wing, then I fear I will start flying in the sky in ecstasy. So this is how dear Vakreshwar Pandit was to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu considered himself what a wing is to a bird is what Vakreshwar Pandit is to Mahaprabhu. In Chaitanya Bhagavat also, Vakreshwar Pandit has been glorified by our Vrindavan Das Thakur. Vakreshwar Pandit Chaitanya Priya Patra Brahmanda Pavitra Jara Smaranei Matra. Now Vrindavan Das Thakur continues. He says Vakreshwar Pandit is Chaitanya Priya Patra. He's a very dear. Now Patra literally means a vessel. A vessel is a place where we fill substance. Whatever we want to pour. So two qualities. Patra has the receiving capability. Now, for example, if you invert the patra, even if it rains, the water gets drained out and the vessel doesn't hold anything. So point number one, when the vessel is in the right direction, it has the ability to hold things. So Vakreshwar Pandit has the ability to hold in him. Now, when can we hold things? There is a very beautiful English phrase. That when we are full in ourselves, God has no space to fill in anything. When we are full in ourselves, which means when we are very proud, Krishna does not have any place to fill in his mercy. But only when we feel completely destitute and completely sinful and completely fallen and contaminated and in consciousness, that is when we are like a patra. And now Krishna can fill his mercy in the patra of our consciousness. So this is point number one. Now point number two is a vessel does not decide what has to be poured in. Right? When you have a bottle, the bottle doesn't tell you fill me up only with juice, not with water. What is the verse number that I am reading? Okay. Adilila Chaitanya Charitamrita chapter 10 text 17 onwards is what I read first. Now, as far as Chaitanya Bhagavat is concerned, it is Antya Khanda, chapter 3, text 469 onwards. So we were mentioning a vessel or a bottle never tells the master, you fill only oil in me or only water in me or only Charanamrit, nothing else. Whatever is poured in, it accepts. Which means this is again complete dependence, ready to dance. Again, coming back to the same point, ready to dance to the will of the Lord. Today we are doing good. Today we are having a very nice resume. We are having a very good education degree. We have a big house. But it takes only one bomb blast, not literally a bomb blast, but a bomb blast in the sense of an uncertain mishap in life. We could have a financial loss, for example. Who could have thought that something like COVID-19 or coronavirus would come and shake the world like this? We are all proud of our bank balance. But here are people like 4-5 months without a pay. Now, this is a change in plan. Sometimes we think, oh, look, I am so attractive. I am so beautiful. I have such exquisite features. And in the middle of our 30s, we can develop cancer and boom, finished. Our plans are finished. Or we could have plans that, yes, in the future, I am going to have a big house and I'm going to have 2 children. And this is going to be the plan. I want to make them like this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it's possible by Krishna's inconceivable fortune, we may have a miscarriage. We may lose a child. Or when the child is born, the child may have some difficulties in health. So where are all our plannings? So we should be praying to Krishna that a bomb has not erupted yet. His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhu says a very beautiful sentence. He says, our lives are all unfolding tragic stories. All of our lives are unfolding tragic stories. All of our lives. There is tragedy in our life. It's just not unfolded yet. Today we are on the top of the mountain of fortune and the top of the mountain of comfort and luxury and whatnot. And everybody must appreciate me and everybody should glorify me. Everybody should recognize me. Baba, tomorrow there'll be one mishap in life. It's possible our spouse could develop a health illness. We could develop some problems. Our children could have some problems. It's possible we may preach all our life about, yes, we should be devotees, we should be devotees, we should be devotees. And it's possible that our child will be an atheist. And it's going to be difficult living in that same house. Or he could bring in meat in the house. Or maybe he's a devotee, but he falls in love with, someone who's completely against Krishna consciousness. So we may have spoken all of our lives that we should not associate with non-devotees. We should be very Krishna conscious, only devotees. But it's possible now Krishna's going to have a laugh and say that now I want to put you in a situation to test if you can walk your talk. And he will bring in inconceivable reversals in life. Our parents may have problems. We may have financial problems. God knows, there could be so many things. Communal rights. So many things, you know. So we are really, really like a bubble. Devotees, it's something really to think about. We are like uncertain bubbles. And when that pricking point is going to be, the elasticity of the bubble will be lost. We never know. So therefore, here when it said, Vakreshwara Pandita Chaitanya Priya Patra, he was a bowl or he was a receiving agent of Mahaprabhu's mercy. The meditation is that I want to empty myself inside, that whatever Mahaprabhu feels in me, I want to accept it as his mercy. Tomorrow I may lose someone very dear in my life or I may lose my own life. Who knows? Nowadays we hear uncertain, it's like really, really inconceivable how things can unfold. My brother Arjun Sakha Prabhu was telling me that one of his very dear friends, now he's only 24 years old. Now one of his very dear friends had a bike accident in December last year. 23, 24 year old boy had a bike accident in December. And that too, he slips into coma. Now, It's such a strong scenario that amidst all this coronavirus, the whole world is going through inauspiciousness. And here, poor guy, for 6 months from December to June, you know, this whole 6 months, he's been in coma. And yesterday or day before yesterday, Arjun told me that he left his body. So what is this, Prabhus and Matajis? Let's think about it. At 23, 24, is this a time to leave one's body? So it's a wake-up call. Ahani ahani bhutani gacchanti yama mandiram sheshah sthavaram icchanti kim aashcharya matah param. Are we going to wait to deprioritize our Krishna consciousness till the time we grow 70 and think that is the time when I'm going to be Krishna conscious? There are less intelligent ideas that, hey, now is not the time to be Krishna conscious. When time comes, we should. Now is the time to focus on our career. Well, yes, but we have to do side by side. Multitasking is the key to success. We really have to be very, very Krishna conscious. We may not even see old age. We may not even see old age. Recently, the news in India that shook the whole country was the sudden suicide or sudden departure of an upcoming Bollywood star called as Sushant Singh Rajput. Devotees may also have read, if you have read through the news, I'm trying to make a point, not get into Bollywood, but make a point that here is a boy who's a gold medalist in the physics Olympiad. Here is a boy with exceptional intellectual ability. He was All India ranked 7 in the All India Entrance Examination, Engineering Entrance Examination. It's called as AIEEE. He was All India ranked 7. So he's a very, very smart kid as far as engineering is concerned. A very good martial artist, sword fighter. Very young, very attractive, has been very famous. He played big, big roles and he, made lots of tons of money. So he's a celebrity. He's handsome. He has, different qualities and lots of money, girls, fan following, celebrity status, millions of followers. And then what happened? It's really unfortunate, We don't want to dig into the story, but the point is it's a wake-up call. There is vacancy in the heart for every living being. We are all trying to scratch through matter for getting some juice. And unfortunately, we're not getting it. So it's time to focus, to become a Chaitanya Priya Patra in Kali Yuga, to become that representative, Kripa Patra of Mahaprabhu by surrendering to him, that I don't know anything. I really don't know anything. My Lord, I have no plans in life. I will make a certain plan, but I will not tell you to fulfill them. Whatever is correct, may that happen. Srila Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, when he was going through physical illness, he was appealing to the disciples that, please tell Krishna, if you so desire, then may my health recover. So even during a liver kidney transplant at old age, Maharaj is praying that if you so desire, may I be protected. So there is how much surrender there. We should always pray to Krishna that this is what I think in life, but my Lord, you may have different plans for me. It may be difficult for me to adjust to those plans because of my false ego. But Krishna, I am yours. Please, it's difficult, but please make me capable. Let at those difficult times of reversals, may I get proper inspiration. May I get proper sadhu sangha. May I take shelter of the right pristine teachings that, yes, I am not able to surrender, but this is the time when I have to become very, very soft on the edges of my false ego and surrender to Krishna's plan. We are helpless. We are homeless, we are helpless, we are completely destitute. What life throws at us, we have no clue. But one thing we can make sure. Outside, in motivational speaking, they say, if life throws lemons at you, make a lemonade. But we have little different. Our formula is little different. Our formula is, when life throws lemons at us, we make a lemonade and offer it to Krishna. This is our point. Those lemons must be offered to Krishna. So here, Brahmanda Pavitra Jar Smaranai Matra. Chaitanya Bhagavat, our Vrindavan Das Thakur is saying, just by remembering Vakreshwar Pandit and by calling out the name Vakreshwar Pandit, Brahmanda Pavitra Jar Smaranai Matra, the whole world can become purified. How? What is the science behind it? The science is, when we remember great souls, the qualities of those great souls come in us. This is a very important principle. Just by remembering, when our mind is absorbed in a certain place, those qualities come in us. Why do we say don't fault find, don't be a serial fault finder? Because when we dwell on the faults of someone, those are the faults which we inherit. Those are the faults which we, there's a transfer, let's say. Whatever we think is what we become. Prabhupada gives so many times the example that whatever we think is what we become. In the Brahma Samhita also, it has been described. Yam kama krodha sahaja pranayadi bhiti vatsalya moha guru gaurava sevya bhavai sanchintya tasya sadrishim tanumapurete govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Even Brahmaji in his Brahma Stuti says, depending on our meditation is what we achieve. So if someone is remembering Krishna in parental mood, then Krishna accepts that mood and gives us that position. Putana went to Krishna. She decided what bhav to go in. Now, Putana eternally got the position of being a nurse. But on what basis? She meditated. She wanted to. She was practicing. She was in her mind absorbed. I want to find Krishna. I want to find Krishna. I want to find Krishna. I want to give him my breast milk and kill him. But the meditation was, how can I find him and bring him close to me? So Krishna accepted that bhav. So depending on what we think, are the qualities what we inherit. So if we are always thinking of very lusty images, pornographic videos, or lusty scenes, in TV, on TV or in movies or different pictures or whatever it may be, whatever we are thinking is what is going to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And we will see that kama veg, that kama agni, that fire of lust will get blazing in our heart, because that's what we are thinking about. So here, if we think of Vakreshwar Pandit's dancing, meaning he's ready to dance to all the different changing plans of Mahaprabhu, oh, then we become purified. Whomever we associate with, that person becomes purified. We see so many times, let's think about it. Lokanath Goswami tried so much to meet Mahaprabhu. He was traveling from one place to another. He would come from A to B, hearing that Mahaprabhu is in B. And when he travels from A to B, we will hear Mahaprabhu has gone from B to C. Then he would travel from B to C, Mahaprabhu has gone from C to A. Then when he comes from C to A, then Mahaprabhu has gone from A to B. Lokanath Goswami went traveling back and forth, back and forth, back and forth to meet Mahaprabhu. He could never meet Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu just told him in his meditation that you just stay where you are. Don't keep coming like this. And he was okay. He was completely fine with that. Think about Srinivas Acharya. How much change in plans? His father, Chaitanya Das, told him, go and take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He goes to take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu disappears from real life. He disappears. And then he cries, now what to do? Mahaprabhu says, go to Gadadhar Pandit. He goes to Gadadhar Pandit to learn Bhagavatam. But there's no Bhagavatam. By the time he procures a Bhagavatam, Gadadhar Pandit has left this world. He's crying and weeping. Gaur Gadadhar have left me. Where do I go? Gadadhar Pandit says, okay, now you go to Rupa and Sanatan. He goes to Rupa and Sanatan. By then, Rupa Sanatan, Goswamis have left this world. So he's thinking, they prefer to leave this world than to give me their association. But then finally, he got the shelter of Gopal Bhatta Goswami in Diksha, and then Jiva Goswami in Shiksha. But the point is, changing plans again. Are we ready? Are we ready to change plans? Krishna is changing plans from Gokul Mahavan to Vrindavan, and then to Mathura and to Dwaraka. Krishna is changing, leaving devotees, and Brajbasis are crying and weeping. Are we ready to become, we say, I want to be Brajbasi, I want to go to Vrindavan. But it's very easy to go to the land Vrindavan. But Vrindavan is not Sthan Tirtha, it is Bhav Tirtha. Have we entered that consciousness, that Vaikuntha consciousness, that Vrindavan consciousness of serving Vaishnavas? And whatever they decide is what we decide. Whatever my superiors decide is what is good for me. Whatever Gurudev has told, that is what is good for me. So many exalted devotees we see. So many exalted devotees. Exceptional preachers. But their spiritual master tells them that you become pujari. They're giving up preaching to become pujari. Then the spiritual master says, you give up pujari and you become cook. They're giving up being the chief chef and ready to become the head cook. And then humbly serve. This has been the parampara. This has been the parampara. Great souls have become menial servants. Great kings have become menial servants because of the plan of their superiors. Narottam Das Thakur, being a prince, is ready to clean the stool and urine of his Gurudev. Isn't that a change of plan? But how lovingly he has changed to the plans. But we decide, yes, I want to be Kathakar, I want to be Kirtaniya, I want to be temple president, I want to be the head of everything. But if our Gurudev tells us that, oh, I think you should take care of this, our consciousness is disturbed. It's almost like throwing a pebble into the water pond, and then there's total restlessness. Then why did we take sentimental diksha if we're not ready to surrender to our Gurudev? If we're not ready to surrender to our superiors? So here, Vakreshwara Pandita Chaitanya Priyapatra, Brahmanda Pavitra Jar Smaranei Matra, Niravadi Krishna Prema Viraha Vival, Jaran Ritya Devasura Mohita Sakal. It has been said, when Vakreshwar Pandit was dancing, Niravadi Krishna Prema Viraha Vival, his heart was beating in ecstatic separation from Krishna. It's interesting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is here, but he is feeling pangs of separation from Krishna. What does this mean? It means that when we come close to Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu will bless us in the feeling of separation from Krishna. Very, very important. Someone can say, while coming close to Mahaprabhu, we should feel coming close to Krishna. But actually, Mahaprabhu's blessing is, one comes so close to Krishna in devotion that one feels, oh, I'm so far away. Niravadi Krishna Prema Viraha Vival. He has so much separation in his heart. Jaran Ritya Devasura Mohita Sakal. Deva Asura. Even demigods and demons' hearts would melt looking at the graceful dancing of Vakreshwar Pandit. What were the symptoms of his dancing? Ashru kampa sveda hasya pulaka hunkar vaivarnya ananda murcha adi jevikar. Look at the transformations in his body. Ashru, when he would dance, he would cry for Krishna. Kampa, his body would tremble in horripilations. Sveda, from head to toe, he would sweat. Hasya, sometimes he would smile and laugh. And Pulaka, his hair would stand on end. And Hunkar, he would roar in happiness. Vaivarnya, his complexion would change. Ananda, he would feel so happy. And finally, Murcha, he would fall down unconscious, as if dead. Adi Jevikar, these were the transformations in his body. Chaitanya Kripaya Matra Nritya Praveshila Sakale Ashiya Vakreshwara Dehe Mile. It has been described that Chaitanya Kripaya Matra Nritya Praveshila Sakale Ashiya Vakreshwara Dehe Mile. Vakreshwara Panditero Uddhama Vikar Sakala Kahite Shakti Achaye Kahar. Vrindavan Das Thakur has said, who has the power to describe the beautiful, wonderful glories of Vakreshwara Pandit? Who can describe? It used to be a wonder for everyone. It was almost like Mahaprabhu had entered his body. Vrindavan Das Thakur describes the beautiful story. In brief, I would like to, in a minute, I would like to mention and then move on. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains the connection of Vakreshwara Pandit with Devananda Pandit. Devananda Pandit was a great scholar of Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he would speak, hundreds and hundreds of people would come together in the assembly and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Many of his disciples even would sit ahead and hear. So in one of these assemblies, it is described, Srivas Pandit, he attended. And Srivas Pandit, dear associate of Mahaprabhu and incarnation of Narad Muni, as he was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Devananda Pandit, it is described that he started choking in emotions and tears started streaming from his eyes. And as soon as he was crying for Krishna in this assembly, he couldn't stop. It's not that he wanted to gain some attention or some, wanted to attract some eyes around. It's just that he couldn't stop. He was hearing beautiful Krishna Katha and tears would not stop, but just roll down his cheek. So as he was crying, it is described that disciples of Devananda Pandit, they took offense and they actually had Srivas Pandit removed from that assembly. And Devananda Pandit kept quiet. He didn't ask Srivas Pandit to leave. But when the disciples were actually asking him to leave, he didn't stop them. So actually not stopping a Vaishnav being criticized. When Vaishnav is being criticized, a Vaishnav is being offended. When one doesn't step in and stop that offense, then we get implicated in their offense. So Devananda Pandit goes through his transformations because of this offense. But it is described finally when Vakreshwara Pandit came and Devananda Pandit humbly took this service of serving Vakreshwara Pandit. That Devananda Pandit, who was a very great scholar of the Bhagavatam, who had Vaishnava Parala on his head, who had no faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very, 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 very low faith in Mahaprabhu. Literally, it is described, feeble faith in Mahaprabhu. So by serving Vakreshwara Pandit, all these three things went deeper. What happened? The Bhagavatam that he was speaking, which he was speaking scholarly, now became very, very devotional. He served Vakreshwara Pandit, this dancing associate of Mahaprabhu, and Devananda Pandit's study of Bhagavatam went deeper and heart-wrenched with genuine emotions. And now when he would speak Bhagavatam, he would cry. Which means the offense that was caused to Srivas Thakur, because of which Bhagavatam stopped him from actually accessing him. That access was now released and he could access. So all those emotions from the Bhagavatam drenched the heart of Devananda Pandit. One. Second, his Vaishnava Aparad was washed off. And third, it is described, three things we mentioned, that his Bhagavatam study, his Vaishnava Parad, and his faith in Mahaprabhu. So all three of them were properly rescued. His Bhagavatam study went deeper and more heart-wrenched. Second, his Vaishnava Parad towards Srivas Thakur was completely absolved. And third, he had unflinching faith in Sriman Mahaprabhu. He came and begged at the feet of Sriman Mahaprabhu. He said, please forgive me, my Lord, by the association of Vakreshwar Pandit, by serving Vakreshwar Pandit, my faith in you, your lotus feet, has increased. My eyes have opened up. My study of Bhagavatam has got deeper. My Lord, please give me shelter. At that time, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, Prabhu bale tumi je shevila Vakreshwar, athayeva haila tumi amara gochar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Prabhu bale tumi je shevila Vakreshwar. Hey Devananda, you served Vakreshwar. Athayeva haila tumi amara gochar. This is why you are able to see me. You are able to appreciate my inconceivable potency and supremacy. You were not able to do this before. Why? Because you had not served a great soul. But by serving someone as great as Vakreshwar, your faith in Mahaprabhu has increased. Vakreshwara Pandita Prabhura Purna Shakti. Mahaprabhu is saying, Vakreshwara Pandit is Krishna's Purna Shakti. Shai Krishna Paye Je Tahara Kare Bhakti. Shai Krishna Paye Je Tahara Kare Bhakti. This Vakreshwar Pandit can infuse bhakti in anybody's heart. Vakreshwara Hridaye Krishnera Nija Ghar. Vakreshwar's heart is Krishna's staying place, resting place. Krishna Nritya Kare Nachite Vakreshwar. When Krishna dances in the heart, Vakreshwar is dancing in the body, Mahaprabhu is saying. So it's not Vakreshwar dancing. Krishna is dancing in the heart. And therefore, Vakreshwar is dancing. Jete Sthane Jadi Vakreshwara Sangahai. Sheisthane Sarvatirtha Shri Vaikunthamai. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, Jete Sthane Jadi Vakreshwara Sangahai. That place where someone gets association of the lotus feet of Vakreshwar Pandit by service. Sheisthane Sarvatirtha Shri Vaikunthamai. All the tirthas have manifested in that place and Vaikuntha has appeared. So what is this? What point can we learn from this? These three points we can pray to Vakreshwar Pandit. Already one point we have prayed to Vakreshwar, or we are supposed to pray to Vakreshwar Pandit, that let me be able to dance to your ever-changing plans in life. This is point number one. Point number two, hey Vakreshwar Thakur Mahashai, just like you took mercy and you gave shelter to Devananda Pandit, please kindly on today, on this most auspicious disappearance day of yours, the reason we celebrate disappearance of Vaishnavas and we call it auspicious is because two reasons. Reason number one, death or birth and death for a conditioned soul can bring in happiness and distress. Birth is happiness. Death is distress. But for great souls, they are not coming in this world because of karma and exiting this world because of karma. They are coming in this world to shower mercy on everyone and they are leaving this world to be with Krishna. So this is point number one. It is a happy occasion when they appear because they have come for us. And it is a happy occasion when they depart because they have gone back to Krishna. Of course, we will feel a great mood of separation from great souls when they leave. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he asked Ramananda Rai that of all the moods of suffering and all the different examples of suffering, which is the bada dukh in this world? And Ramananda Rai said that the mood of separation from a great soul, the separation, departure, when a great soul departs, that mood of separation is the greatest source of distress in one's life. So this is point number one, why we celebrate their departure, because they've gone back to Krishna. Second reason we celebrate their departure is because they are not under karma, they are transcendental. So remembering their appearance or their disappearance only invokes more auspiciousness in our life. Like Parikshit Maharaj, for example. Parikshit Maharaj's appearance, when we discuss, we speak less about Parikshit Maharaj, we speak more about Krishna's protection. When Parikshit Maharaj was in the womb, we know when the Brahmastra was shot by Ashwatthama in the womb of Uttara, and Uttara ran everywhere. Pahi pahi mahayogi deva deva jagatpate nanyam tvat abhayam pashye yatra mrityu parasparam. Uttara ran helplessly with Parikshit in her womb. And at that time Krishna, Angushta Matram, Krishna entered in the size of a thumb into the womb of Uttara and protected Maharaj Parikshit. So when we talk about Parikshit Maharaj's birth, we don't speak about how he suffered in the womb of his mother. We speak about Krishna protecting him. When we speak about Parikshit Maharaj's life, we speak about how glorious he is as a descendant of the Pandavas. And when we speak about his departure, we speak about Srimad Bhagavatam's appearance. So it is so amazing. Again, coming back to the same principle of changing plans of Krishna. When Krishna decided, Krishna destroyed the Astra of Ashwatthama, the disappearance of the Brahmastra caused an appearance of Parikshit. Correct? Krishna decided that the Brahmastra must disappear and Parikshit must appear. Then in a few years, Krishna decided Parikshit must disappear and Srimad Bhagavatam must appear. These are changing plans. So again, coming back to Parikshit Maharaj, his appearance, his life and his departure all invoke the remembrance of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, even the departure of great souls, we should remember, we should pray to them. So four things that we should pray to Vakreshwar Pandit. First, we should pray that whenever Krishna changes things in my life and there are reversals, my Lord, these reversals without rehearsals that Krishna throws in, let me accept them with the attitude of gratitude. That very beautifully in one purport of the Gajendra Moksha prayers, Prabhupada writes that whatever happens in our life, it is actually our own karma. So even if there is a reversal, we should first think that this reversal has come because I have done this to someone. Sometimes we are not able to accept, why is this happening to me? I am such a nice person. We may theoretically say I am a devotee. We may theoretically say I believe in the law of karma. I have done the journey of self-discovery course. I have done the Bhagavad Gita crash course. I believe in reincarnation, all of these things. But if we believe in reincarnation, we believe in karma truly, then when reversals are coming in our life, we should be convinced this is coming to me because I have done this to someone. Very simple. So point number one, we should remember, Prabhupada says, whenever reversals are there in life, we should remember this is happening because of my own prarabdha karma from past life. Point number two, we should remember that Krishna is giving only a small portion of what I actually deserve. I deserve way more suffering and way little happiness. But Krishna is giving way little suffering and way more happiness. Little suffering Krishna gives when I actually deserve so much. And I deserve so much little happiness, but Krishna is giving so much. So we should be convinced about this. Third point that we should be convinced about is that this reversal, if I take this test properly, it will make me advance in Krishna consciousness. So we can approach reversals in two ways. Either when they come, we sit and complain and then criticize all the different players in that event and blame what is happening and complain to other superiors to try our best to change the situation. Or another way, we can accept that this is actually going to purify me. Krishna, let me remember you. Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj, almost every class mentions three verses. This is very, very interesting. If you analyze Srila Radhanath Maharaj's classes, one class after another, over years, three popular verses that Maharaj quotes almost every class. First, Maharaj quotes, Tattenu kampam susamikshamano bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam ritvak vapu bhir viradan namaste jivetiyo mukti padesa daya bhak. This verse of Brahma. Then second thing Maharaj quotes is Trinadapi Sunichena Tarurapi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. The third verse of Shikshashtakam. The third verse that Maharaj quotes is Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Dasa Dasanu Dasaha. The verse that Mahaprabhu chanted in front of Jagannath at the Rath Yatra. If you actually think about it, these three verses are connected to each other and so deeply relevant to all of us. Brahmaji says, Tatte Anukampam Su Samikshamanaha. Such a beautiful phrase. Su Samikshamana. Su Samikshamana. Let's calculate this as far as Sanskrit is concerned. Su Sam Ikshanam. Three words. Ikshanam means to see. Sam means completely. Su means in a very nice way. So let's say, someone does something to me, or there are reversals in our life. Someone does something to us. When we see that, and we say, now I also want to show him. How dare he speak like this to me? I am also going to show. This is ikshanam. We have just seen the situation. But some ikshanam means, wait a minute. He came and told me this. He shouted at me because there is something going on in his heart. What did I do yesterday What did I tell him yesterday? Till yesterday morning, he was okay. But now he's acting like this, which means something I have done to him from yesterday afternoon onwards. This is not ikshanam. This is some ikshanam. Ikshanam would mean seeing someone acting in a certain way. Oh, he's doing this. Oh, that's his problem. I'm not going to talk to him. I'm not going to do this. This is ikshanam. But some ikshanam means he has done this to me. There may be a reason why. Let me think about it. I may have done something yesterday, or I may have said something to him day before yesterday. Or let's say last time I met him 1 month ago, he was okay. Why he's acting like this? Which means I have said something to him in the last 1 month. This is some ikshanam. Now, su some ikshanam means that same analogy we have taken back in time. Instead of thinking what I've done to him yesterday or day before yesterday or 1 week before or 1 month before or 1 year before, we think what I have done to that jiva one lifetime ago, few lifetimes ago. Which means, su samikshamana means whatever comes in life, the vision to see that whatever is happening, I have done something in the past. This is why it is happening. But this is why Krishna is giving me equal. I may have done 50 faults, so Krishna is giving me 50 units of suffering. No, tatte anukampam. Anukampa is also a very beautiful word. The word kampan means trembling, but anu means after. So when Krishna trembles with us, seeing our struggle, that is called compassion. When Krishna sees that 50 units of suffering we are supposed to struggle and tremble for, and his heart melts, and he is also trembling, anukampa, seeing our suffering, out of mercy, he reduces that 50 units of suffering becomes 5 units of suffering. So this verse is very, very deep. Tatte anukampam su samikshamana. Whatever happens to me in my life, to be able to see that I have done something in my past, point number one. Point number two, anukampa. And Krishna is not even giving me the full dose. He is only giving me partial dose. And why is he doing this to me? To cleanse my heart. Second verse, to humble me. Only when we are humble, third verse, we can accept ourselves as the servant of our Gurudev. And in this mode, we can chant Krishna's names and call out to him. So these verses are connected as far as seeing reversals in life is concerned. As far as humility, developing humility is concerned. When we see suffering in the lives of people, it is Matajis and Prabhujis, it is really heartbreaking how much suffering people could go through. How much suffering people could go through. I want to talk something related to my life now. Yesterday, my mother was telling me about one very, very dear family member in our family. my mother's cousin, and her son is only 21 years old, and he has developed cancer. He has gone through chemotherapy. It's a cancer close to the heart. He is at the age of 21. He has already gone through his struggle with cancer and chemotherapy, and now it has come back again with a second attack. He's only 21. Think about what is happening in the heart of the mother. It doesn't stop there. Now her mother-in-law and father-in-law, they're also struggling. The mother-in-law has bone cancer and she has developed Alzheimer's. And the father-in-law has dementia because of old age to such an extent that he doesn't know which is the bathing bucket to bathe from, and he doesn't know which is the commode to pass and attend nature's call. So sometimes he just mistakes them, you know, and thinks a bucket to be a commode and does the needful. So think about what is happening in the mind and the heart and the life of that mother. On one hand, she's taking care of her in-laws, both of which are going through their set of problems. And then she's living for her children, and her son at the age of 21 is going through so much struggle, and still she has a smile on her face and she has so much positive mindset. Now here, none of the balls in our life has exploded. We are doing good financially, socially, personally, relationship-wise, education-wise, money-wise, house-wise, car-wise. Everything is proper. So we think, very nice. I am actually very special. Everybody should glorify me. Everybody should give their attention to me. I am very special in comparison to others. I know 2 shlokas better than others. I can sing 2 bhajans better than others. I am an expert writer. This guy doesn't even know how to speak, but I am an expert orator. I can cook really better. This whatnot. It just takes one bubble or one ball in our life to go off the orbit and then finished. Problems will start. So therefore, coming back to what we are mentioning here is Prabhupada mentioning in that purport of Gajendra Stuti that whatever happens, I am responsible. It didn't happen in the life of my neighbor. It happened in my life. Krishna does not have telephonic cross connections, please. You know, before when we had landlines and we were not so much into phone, cell phones, we know it was just common to have cross connections. Somebody would dial for Suresh and he would actually reach Mahesh. And Ramesh in the middle is hearing what is happening between. So many times in India, you know, you can just pick up a call, a phone, and then you can hear cross connection. Two people are talking. And sometimes it's gossip. You just continue hearing. What are they speaking? So here's the point that there are no cross connections as far as Krishna's karmic calculations are concerned. Every living entity gets according to Krishna's unique perfect planning. Point number one, I am responsible. Point number two, whatever comes is a shorter version, is a crash course. It's not the detailed course. And three, if I face this test properly, I purify my heart and get closer to Krishna. But if I waste this opportunity in criticizing, when that reaction is coming, I act on that reaction. What is happening? This reaction goes away. And now because there has been an action on that reaction, a future reaction is planned already. So we are not getting rid of the situation. We try to run away from one situation to another to save our skin. When we are in India, we have certain set of problems. We think by coming to America, I will be away from those problems. Well, we may have better conditions here, but whatever karma is there, that dose has to be taken. Whether we take it whether we take it in India, whether we take it in America or Australia or England, that is immaterial. 50 units of karmic suffering means 50 units of karmic suffering. Now that if we can make it worse by criticizing others, because now we are adding more and more karma for more reactions, or trying to deny, or try to complain, or try to blame. And then even worse by getting into offensive mentality and whatnot. So now we're really making a mess out of it. Krishna gives us a ladder. We are all inside a well. Krishna has put a situation in the form of a ladder. Our situation, our take should be to climb that ladder and come out. Situations in life are like ladders. We are in a life of well. We should climb on the rank of that ladder of situation and come out of this material world. But instead, living in that well, we are feeling cold. We are cutting the different ranks of this ladder and trying to make a bonfire there so that we can feel warm inside that well. What is happening? We may feel temporary warmth in that cold well, but we are losing that opportunity to get out of that well. So we want to pray to Vakreshwar Pandit today that may I be able to dance like you were dancing. May I be able to dance? Point number one. Four things we are supposed to pray today. So this is the first point. Second point, from the story of Devananda Pandit. Whatever Vaishnava aparad I may have committed, the best solution to that is to go back to that Vaishnava and fall at his feet. But if that is not possible, we can try to sell our heart to a great soul and serve that great soul. And then Krishna will have mercy on us and then absolve our Vaishnava aparad to that previous Vaishnava. Now, Devananda Pandit going and serving Srivas Pandit is not mentioned. Although the offense was to Srivas Pandit. But Devanand Pandit serving Vakreshwar. When Vakreshwar Pandit would dance, Devanand Pandit would try to hold him so that he doesn't fall. He would protect him. So by his service to Vakreshwar Pandit, his offense to Srivas Pandit was absolved. So we don't know what all Vaishnava aparad we have committed, whom all we have criticized, whom all we have troubled emotionally, physically in past lives or in this present life. We may think it is a passing comment. But it could be very critical. It could actually show the consciousness, the inner consciousness. The inner consciousness. A day before yesterday, I was speaking to Adhikaratha Prabhu about something. And in no time, an offensive mentality came to my tongue. And I was just thinking that I'm making a point. But very quickly, you know, Prabhuji, he pointed out that, Prabhuji, I think we are going down a slippery slope. And then I, you know, tried to introspect and that was true. That was absolutely true. It just takes one tipping point of criticism and then it goes down a slide. And when we become offenders, we don't know. So we want to pray that whichever Vaishnava we have criticized, ideally let us go and fall at their feet. But if not, let me sell myself at the lotus feet of a Vakreshwar Pandit like great soul in my life. Point number two. Point number three, study of Bhagavatam will only be theoretical, scholarly and head deep till the time Vaishnava Seva is not performed. We can read the verses of Bhagavatam 16 hours a day, but if we don't appreciate and serve Vaishnavas menially, those purports will never enter our heart. So we want to pray to Vakreshwar Pandit, just like by your mercy, Devananda Pandit went deeper in his study. May I seek the opportunity to serve the Vaishnavas. And fourth, Devananda Pandit's faith in Mahaprabhu went higher by serving Vakreshwar Pandit. Today, may my faith in Sriman Mahaprabhu go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Vakreshwar Pandit, when he came to Puri with Advaita Acharya, it has been very beautifully described. When he came to Puri with Advaita Acharya and in the association of Sriman Mahaprabhu, Vakreshwar Pandit himself would sit at Tota Gopinath and hear Srimad Bhagavatam from the lotus lips of Gadadhara Pandit. As Mahaprabhu would hear, Vakreshwar Pandit was also hearing from Gadadhara Pandit. So he was not just dancing, he was also hearing from a superior. He had many disciples, but one prominent disciple is Gopal Guru Goswami. Now we all know about Gopal Guru Goswami, how Mahaprabhu loved Gopal Guru Goswami. We know the story of how right from childhood, this little Gopal, he instructed Mahaprabhu. Some places it's described Mahaprabhu. I have also read parallel readings where it has said a great soul, a great devotee. So he, right from childhood, he has instructed very, even people beyond his adhikar about chanting the holy name. He would say that even when you enter a restroom, don't hold your tongue. Chant the holy name even in the restroom, because by chanting in the restroom, the holy name is not contaminated. By chanting in the restroom, the restroom becomes a dham. So Mahaprabhu actually gave him the name that in the future, he is going to be a Goswami and he's actually a guru. So he is Gopal Guru. He who was Gopal right from childhood, Mahaprabhu named him Gopal Guru. And then later he became Goswami. So his name was Gopal Guru Goswami. So he's actually our 3G. Gopal Guru Goswami. He's our 3G connection. So Gopal Guru Goswami, it's also described as a child. Mahaprabhu would keep him on his lap. Especially when Abhiram Thakur came. Abhiram Thakur had this ecstatic reputation that wherever he would go, if he would offer obeisances in front of a deity and the deity did not have Krishna in it, it was not properly installed, the deity would crack. Because Abhiram Thakur had so much purity, if he bowed down before a deity and the deity was not Krishna properly installed, the deity would crack. If he offered obeisances in front of a Shila and that was not Shaligram, the Shila would crack. Similarly, if he offered obeisances to someone who had even a speck of material desire in his heart, that person would die. Only pure Vaishnavas were intact. So when Abhiram Thakur came to offer obeisance to Gopal Guru Goswami as a child, Mahaprabhu kept him on his lap to protect him so that nothing would happen to him. So that Gopal Guru Goswami, who has written his interpretation and his Mahamantra meditation, is a direct disciple of Vakreshwar Pandit. And then of course, his descendant we know is Dhyan Chandra Goswami, who has written Gaur Govinda Archana Paddhati, very beautiful book, Dhyan Archana Paddhati, where he has written many, many beautiful verses glorifying the meditation of Radha and Krishna and Sriman Mahaprabhu. So, the deity of Radha Kanta, dear deity of Radha Kanta, coming down from guru to disciple, finally came to our Dhyan Chandra Goswami. Gopal Chandra, our Gopal Guru Goswami, when he departed, when he left his body and he wound up his pastimes, it is described that Radha Kanta Mutt in Orissa was taken over by the local government, the magistrate, and that they closed it and they took charge of it. So Dhyan Chandra Goswami, the dear disciple, was crying and weeping, my Gurudev is gone. He has given me the service of Radha Kanta, Radha Kanta. And now the deities have been taken over. The temple has been closed and taken over by government officials. When he was crying so deeply to his Gurudev, Gopal Guru Goswami, it's described Gopal Guru Goswami came back to life. He was actually placed on the funeral pyre But he came back to life, went, sat with the officials, solved all the problems, properly negotiated everything, and then went back and left his body. He was such a mystical sadhu. Also, many times it's been described in Vaishnava biographies that he has appeared in Vrindavan, even generations later, to devotees who have been very devoted to his service. So there are many followers like that in Odisha. They call themselves also Gaudiya Vaishnava followers, or Vakreshwar Pandit, Gopal Guru Goswami, Dhyanchandra Goswami, like that. So in this way, this is a very powerful line from one guru to another. Now, as we know, Vakreshwar Pandit stands for ecstatic dancing. Similarly, in Sriman Mahaprabhu's continued Sankirtan party and continued Sankirtan movement, we have an ecstatic singer also. That is Sripada Indra Prabhu. Both the ecstatic dancer and the ecstatic singer both wrapped up their pastimes on the same tithi. So we want to now mention a few things about Sripada Indra Prabhu's glorious life. It's a long discussion. This weekend we are celebrating the Tirobhav Maha Mahotsav of Sripada Indra Prabhu here in Atlanta. So at that time we may share more details. But as far as today's discussion is concerned, with the 15 minutes that we have, 9 o'clock local time, I will try to stop. So these 13, 15 minutes, I would like to speak about Indra Prabhu. And then we can have some questions and discussions. So Sripada Indra Prabhu is a very rare, very special, person in my heart, in my life. Sripad Bhakti Swarup Damodara Swami Maharaj blessed me as I was a child by his holy auspicious association. But however, since I was a child, I could not much appreciate the presence of a great soul. Because when you're a child, all that you're thinking about is playing, or you go to the temple, you take darshan and you have some samosa and kachori or whatever. That's what the mind is all about. So even if you see a great soul, you offer obeisances and you do some kirtan for his pleasure. But then again, mind comes back to eating and where my mother is and etc. You just, as a child, continue. But when Sripad Indra Prabhu left this world in 2010, I was 18 years old. That actually left a very, very strong flag, a very strong impression in my heart. It's really sad that never in my life I have seen Sripada Indra Prabhu. We've been to Vrindavan so many times. And maybe we may have seen, but not known the importance. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, only fools think that Vaishnavas become more glorious after they depart. While the actual point is, they are very, very glorious even while being on the planet. The point is, because of over-familiarity, we never recognize, we never identify, we never understand. Only when they depart, we think, oh, it was such a great loss. So I was such one such example. But when Indra Prabhu was on the planet, somehow my heart, you know, my heart did not palpitate and beat to the kirtans of Indra Prabhu. In fact, in 2004 also, my mother got the Vrindavan Mellows track. I think it was Prayers to the Dust of Braja. That was the track, the album of Indra Prabhu. And when my mother played it, somehow my ears did not naturally get attracted to that kind of kirtan, because I was attracted to a different kind of kirtan. But at that time, when I played the Prayers of the Dust of Braja, somehow my heart did not. So I always beat myself down that only if at that time I could have got attracted to Indra Prabhu's kirtans, I would have got 6 more years of his physical presence here. Nonetheless, 2010, Indra Prabhu left. So that literally means this year, not this tithi, marks one decade of Indra Prabhu's departure. 10 years. It's been 10 years that Krishna Balaram Mandir courtyard has not heard Indra Prabhu's voice. It's been 10 years since Radha Shyam Sundar being dressed by the lotus hands of Sripada Indra Prabhu. It's been 10 years that Vyasasan has not had Indra Prabhu's lotus presence, speaking 4 hours of Srimad Bhagavatam. That was Indra Prabhu's standard. He would never stop 1 hour Srimad Bhagavatam. He would go on and on and on and on, and he would make a point and an example, then another point and another example. Then he would read multiple passages in multiple books. He had so much taste in Srimad Bhagavatam, so much taste in speaking speaking the glories of Harinam, singing Harinam, dressing Radha Shyam Sundar in Vrindavan. Such a great soul. It's been 10 years since 10 Kartiks, or let's say 9 Kartiks. This year is going to be probably the 10th Kartiks, because 2010 Kartik also Ayendra Prabhu wasn't there. So it's been 10 Kartiks that Ayendra Prabhu's Damodrashtaka has not been heard in Krishna Balaram Mandir. I just wish and pray that in our hearts, we never ever forget the lotus face of Ayendra Prabhu, the smile of Ayendra Prabhu, the reddish fingertips of Ayendra Prabhu on his harmonium, the beautiful, beautiful melodies of Ayendra Prabhu, the intense, rocking, intoxicating, ecstatic kirtans, pumping kirtans, high energy kirtans, evening kirtans of Ayendra Prabhu, his worship of his Nitai Shachisuta in his room, his strict brahmacharya, his worship of 2000 Shaligram Shilas, his completely transcendental schedule, which no one can follow and imitate. He would sleep some few hours in the afternoon, and all night he would be worshipping his deities, and he would be reading and chanting and whatnot. So, sarva guna sampanna, just completely filled with all transcendental qualities. I had a very nice association of my very dear superior, my older brother and dear friend, His Grace Aranya Vihari Prabhu from Delhi, who had Ayendra Prabhu's association for more than a decade. He first saw Ayendra Prabhu in 96, 97, 98. And from then up to 2010, for him, Vrindavan meant Ayendra Prabhu, Ayendra Prabhu meant Vrindavan. So he would sometimes even lie at home in Delhi and go to Vrindavan. it's interesting. One time, Aranya Vihari Prabhu, just to be with Ayendra Prabhu, he lied at home that, oh, I have some office work and, you know, I'm going to be late today or whatever. And then he went from Delhi, went to Vrindavan for Balram Purnima, Balram Jayanti, appearance of Balaram Dev. And, I get a message that our Aranya Vihari Prabhu is online. My obeisances to him. So I'm just sharing some of my association with Aranya Vihari Prabhu and his remembrances of Ayendra Prabhu. He was mentioning to me how he was so attached to Ayendra Prabhu that sometimes he would lie at home saying that it's going to be a long day at work and he would leave. And one day when it was Balram Jayanti, he went to Vrindavan to hear Ayendra Prabhu, and my Guru Maharaj was there. And he looked at him and said, oh, you're here all alone? He said, yes, I'm all alone. And next morning, Aranya Vihari Prabhu's mother was there in Krishna Balaram Mandir. And Srila Guru Maharaj said, do you know your son was here yesterday? He said, no, my son didn't come to Vrindavan. He's been busy at work. He said, no, actually, I saw him. I spoke to him. He was here. So then when Mataji, Sri Kala Mataji spoke and told Aranya Vihari Prabhu, were you actually there? He said, yes, I had gone there to see Ayendra Prabhu. So he was mentioning that Ayendra Prabhu was such a personality that he can be very, very heavy, yet at the same time, very, very sweet. So I have written some things that I remember on the interactions with Aranya Vihari Prabhu or Ayendra Prabhu. So Aranya Vihari Prabhu will be mentioned as Prabhu, and Ayendra Prabhu would be mentioned as Ayendra Prabhu, so that there's no confusion. So Prabhu was mentioning that when he was leaving Vrindavan one day, he went to Ayendra Prabhu and said, I have to go back to Delhi. So Ayendra Prabhu said, don't go back to that helly smelly Delhi. You don't go there. Just move to Vrindavan. Vrindavan has everything. And Ayendra Prabhu had this mysterious way of connecting everything to Vraja. Even in his classes, you can see that. Even if he picks up a verse from the Bhagavad Gita, he would bring it to either Naam or Dham. So every time Krishna would say Maam, Ayendra Prabhu would say Naam. Because Maam and Naam, person and the name are non-different. No? It's completely non-different. So whenever Krishna would say, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja, Ayendra Prabhu would say, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Nam Ekam Sharanam Vraja, which means Nam Ekam Sharanam. You should take only shelter of Harinam, and that too in Vraja, in Vrindavan. Satatam Kirtayanto Nam. Nam Cha Avyabhicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevate. Taivi Hesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya Nam Eva Ye Prapadyante. So he was drilling this fact that you should chant the holy name and move to Vrindavan, don't live in Delhi. Ayendra Prabhu, when he came to Delhi once in that temple, he was actually the sales and marketing agent for Vrindavan Dham. He came to Delhi only to take everyone to Vrindavan, because when he was given the microphone, he said, Jetumara Sharana Loi Tara Vancha Purna Hoi Kripa Kori Koro Tare Vrindavanavasi. That every day we are praying to Tulsi, that please make me a Vrajavasi, a Vrindavan Vasi. which means you should move to Vrindavan. And Aindra Prabhu said that, I read it in Hari Bhakti Vilas this morning, that one round of Hare Krishna Mahamantra in Vrindavan equals 1 billion rounds outside Vrindavan. But to add more salt to the wound, instead of saying outside Vrindavan, he said one round of Hare Krishna Mahamantra in Vrindavan equals 1 billion rounds chanted in Delhi. So don't live in Delhi, move to Vrindavan. So he was like this Vraja, Vrindavan Mahimamrita, transcendental fanatic, completely devoted to the Dham. So all of his albums also, Aindra Prabhu's albums are also with respect to Braja. Prayers to the Dust of Braja, Vraja Vilas, Vrindavan Mellows. In fact, Aindra Prabhu would drill this point that Vraja, 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 Vrindavan, Vrindavan, Vrindavan. So even if you're living outside Vrindavan, when you hear the name of the album is Prayers to the Dust of Vraja, or Vraja Vilas, or Vrindavan Mellows, the desire that may I come to Vrindavan must automatically rise in the heart. May I come to Vrindavan. So anyway, Prabhu was mentioning that when he came to Sripad, Aindra Prabhu and said, I have to go back to Delhi. Aindra Prabhu said, no, you just be here. Just be here in Vrindavan. He said, no, but I am a student. I have to go back to Delhi. So Aindra Prabhu said something very, very interesting. He told Prabhu that if you're leaving Vrindavan and if you don't have tears in separation from Vrindavan, you were actually never in Vrindavan. This was his attachment. Aindra Prabhu left everything. Born in America, he left everything and moved to Vrindavan. How happy he was when he got that Indian citizenship, because he was trying so hard for years to become an Indian citizen. Finally, when he got that Indian citizenship, he was like a child who had got its balloon. He was jumping that I've become a citizen. But however, he never made an Indian passport. He never had an Indian passport. He got Indian citizenship so that he can stay in Vrindavan. And he never applied for Indian passport so that he never leaves Vrindavan. And Aindra Prabhu would say, just like, always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Always live in Vrindavan and never leave Vrindavan. So Indian citizenship would help him to live in Vrindavan. And if he makes an Indian passport, then people would call him outside for kirtans. He didn't want to leave Vrindavan. So extreme dham nishtha. Even when he had so many health problems, he would never leave Vrindavan. Medicines would come in from outside. And that too, he would check the ingredients of the medicines if that would break his Chaturmas Vrat, because he was so strict in his 4 months of Chaturmas, which is starting very soon. So this was one very beautiful pastime I remember from Prabhu about Sripad Aindra Prabhu. He would, at another interesting thing I remember is, I don't know if I should say this, but he was mentioning that Aindra Prabhu was, he could get so heavy at times because a perfect Vaishnava is softer than a lotus and harder than a thunderbolt. So he could get so heavy that once he chastised Prabhu for something in personal in his life, and he went on and on and on chastising, and Prabhu was breaking up in tears. And Aindra Prabhu said, don't show me those crocodile tears. I'm not going to melt by those crocodile tears. And then he continued chastising. He said, once you go back to Delhi, I know you're not going to chant. I know you're not going to take this up seriously. I don't know why you don't do this, etc., etc. And then finally, he turned towards Prabhu and he said, if I don't lovingly train you, I don't lovingly tell you others, who will do it? So even when he would chastise, there was so much mamata, so much prem. One time Prabhu asked Aindra Prabhu that, can I touch your lotus feet? And Aindra Prabhu said, no, do it in your mind. Not in actual presence, do it in your mind. And while he was saying this, another Brajbasi came and he offered his obeisances and held Aindra Prabhu's lotus feet with both his hands. And Aindra Prabhu didn't say anything. So Prabhu also went, and Aindra Prabhu smiled and he said, I just told you not to touch my lotus feet. Just do it in your mind. So he was very kind like that. Another devotee was telling me that when he came to Aindra Prabhu and he said that, oh, Prabhu, I think of you every morning. Aindra Prabhu then at that time started thinking and he said, oh, that means I should double my chanting. I should twice, you know, double my bhajan. So then this devotee was thinking, what is the connection? Aindra Prabhu then said, when someone thinks of us, our qualities go to that person. If you are thinking of me and I am chanting more, then that if I double my chanting, one set is for me, and the other set goes to you because you're thinking of me. In fact, Ayendra Prabhu went to say that when you think of someone, all the good and bad qualities of that person come to us. And then Ayendra Prabhu said, I don't have any bad qualities. Why? Because spiritually, I am part and parcel of Krishna, which is Amala, without spots. And as far as this body is concerned, I have been living in Vrindavan for more than 21 years. And every 7 years, the atoms of our body change. So 7 times 3 is 21. So Ayendra Prabhu said, 3 times, all the atoms of my body have been changed with the dust of Braj. So spiritually, as far as spirit soul is concerned, I belong to Krishna, so I don't have faults. Body-wise, on the potency or the purificatory potency of the dust of Braj, my body has been, all the atoms have been changed 3 times in 21 years. So therefore, I have no faults, if you think of me. But whatever bhajan I'm doing will come to you if you think of me. So if I increase my bhajan, I have one set for me and one set for you. So even when someone said, I'm thinking of you, Ayendra Prabhu, he was actually connecting that on how to increase his Naam Bhajan. So in this way, Ayendra Prabhu lived his life in extreme, extreme renunciation. I always feel this in my life, this vacuum in my life, that if Krishna comes and asks me that if there is one desire I could fulfill, one personality in the past that you could go and meet, I would with tears tell Krishna, to the little bit of honesty and sincerity I can amass as far as my affection for Ayendra Prabhu is concerned, I would tell Krishna, if I could just get one evening kirtan that I could sit in Ayendra Prabhu's kirtan. It's described when Ayendra Prabhu would do kirtan, the pillars would literally shake, the temple would go up and down in bhav. Devotees would erupt in ecstasy. It was actually our Aranya Vihari Prabhu who mentioned that when he saw Ayendra Prabhu for the first time in the boat festival in Vrindavan, there was one devotee singing before. And it was normal kirtan. Everyone was going back and forth and kirtan was going on in the background. But when Ayendra Prabhu stepped in for this boat festival kirtan with his harmonium to the side and his red copper beard and his, you know, transcendental attire and effulgence, his sharp penetrating eyes when he stepped in, and he started playing his harmonium and he started singing. Literally, it was like, you know, in the countryside, you throw some grains and the birds come in to eat those grains. Similarly, when the grains of Ayendra Prabhu's devotion were kept in public in the temple of Krishna Balaram Mandir, the devotees came like birds, and in no time, the whole place was packed. So this was Ayendra Prabhu's dedication to Naam Sankirtan. He single-handedly established the 24-hour kirtan. And he chanted from 1986 to 2010. 24 years of 24 hours kirtan is what Ayendra Prabhu established. It was Prabhupada's desire in 1975, but then it stopped after Prabhupada's departure. But it was Ayendra Prabhu who left America, and then rest is history. He lived in Vrindavan, never to return. And he chanted all day and night. And he had his kirtan standards so high in the 24-hour kirtan. The kirtan should never stop. It should, Ayendra Prabhu's standard was it should go from melody to melody to melody. So one person is singing a melody, and as everyone's repeating, the next singer takes over and he continues from there. There should not be breaks in the kirtan. That was Ayendra Prabhu's ideal standard, going from melody to melody. And even if there are breaks at the moment in the middle between switching of kirtans, it is so well maintained that everyone is chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So actually the right term is not 24-hour kirtan. The right term is Akhanda Naam Kirtan. Because we can do 24-hour kirtan one day. But in Vrindavan, it's every day. So it's Akhanda Naam, like Akhanda Deep. It's unbroken chanting in Vrindavan. Ayendra Prabhu would say that devotees who are reading, the members who are reading the books and getting convinced about the philosophy, when they come to the temple, they should see a practical demonstration of the Naam Sankirtan movement. Ayendra Prabhu would always press this pressure point, you know, and it would sometimes hurt to different individuals. He would press this pressure point that Mahaprabhu's Harinam Sankirtan has been neglected. Mahaprabhu's movement is Naam Sankirtan, Shuddha Naam Sankirtan, Prem Naam Sankirtan movement. And it should be in the forefront of our movement, but it has been neglected. So we all must become resurgents, is the word he would use. He would say, we are all Nam Sankirtan resurgents. We are all revolutionary missionaries. We should all take up the service of chanting more and more Harinam Sankirtan. Indra Prabhu would say, chant more japa so that you have things to share in the kirtan, and chant more Harinam Sankirtan so that your japa can go deeper. And one of Indra Prabhu's last statements was, chant as many rounds as possible and make sure you die in Vrindavan. And Indra Prabhu left his body. It breaks my heart. I wouldn't describe the happening. But the essence is, Indra Prabhu got the fulfillment of his desire. He left his body in the dust of Vrindavan, at the lotus feet of his Gornitai, in the presence of his 2000 Shaligram Shilas, in the Brahmachari Ashram, in the temple, in the land of Vrindavan. So when Indra Prabhu left also, his Gornitai were there, and garlands of Radha Shamsundar on his body, Giriraj Shilas around, Shaligram Shilas around, and then Indra Prabhu was taken on the banks of the Yamuna with Madan Mohan as the backdrop. And Indra Prabhu actually went one last time to have Yamuna Snan. I may be a fanatic, but I feel Yamuna Devi wanted the touch of Indra Prabhu's body one last time before Indra Prabhu's form could disappear. I sometimes, while chanting, I feel that it is such a sad thing that never will Indra Prabhu's form ever be seen. Never would Indra Prabhu's penetrating eyes ever be seen. Never would Indra Prabhu's smile be seen. Never would Indra Prabhu's very beautiful, wonderful fingernails and fingertips be seen. Never would Indra Prabhu's kirtans be heard. His red copper beard, his Damodarashtaka, his built up in the Damodarashtaka, which everyone sings in his Kanna. The Namo Deva Damodar Ananta Vishnu Prasida Prabho Dukha Jala Bimagna. This was Indra Prabhu's style of kirtan. And he would say, don't sit there kissing the mic. Don't just sit there well-dressed, looking pretty. Sing as loud as you can and give your heart to Krishna. This was Indra Prabhu's mood. He even lost his voice towards the end. He was given complete voice rest. And at that time, he would have tears telling his godbrother that, look at how unfortunate the situation is. I am in Kali Yuga, where the only Yuga Dharma is chanting and dancing. And I am in this Kali Yuga, but I cannot even sing. I am so sinful. And he would chant. So it's just amazing. Departure. Amazing life. Amazing transitions. Amazing determination. Amazing focus on celibacy, brahmacharya. Dedicated stay in Vrindavan. Dedication to Harinam. Undeviated attraction to Srila Prabhupada's pristine teachings. He could take Prabhupada's purports and bring out points which conditioned souls are not able to perceive in those transcendental purports. So Sripada Indra Prabhu, we miss you today. We miss your kirtans. We are very happy at least these kirtans are recorded, like Prabhupada's classes. Imagine Prabhupada's classes, if they were not recorded, we wouldn't have been able to hear from the Acharya who touched this planet. So similarly, Vakreshwar Pandit disappeared today. He was the dancer, but we could never see him. But Vakreshwar Pandit's desire was, may I have thousands and thousands of Gandharva singers who would never stop singing so that I can continue to dance. And in my heart, all those Sahasra Gandharva singers appeared in the form of Sripada Indra Prabhu, who kept the Akhanda Naam going so that there is no stoppage in the singing, and so that Vakreshwar Pandit could dance constantly. And being pleased with Indra Prabhu, Vakreshwar Pandit accepted him in his embrace and his fold on the same tithi. So Sripada Indra Prabhu, we really miss you. Your Radha Shamsundar misses you. Vrindavan is no longer the same in your absence. So if possible, please come back. Your kirtans are our torchlight. Your example is our only solace. Your words, your uncompromising purity. Indra Prabhu may appear to be very strong and heavy and strict at times, but Completely selfless. He doesn't want anything from us except we being becoming pure devotees. So, Vrindavan. I have gone to Vrindavan so many times after that, after Raindra Prabhu's departure. And every time my eyes go to that piece of tile on that pillar where it says 24 years of transcendental, selfless, loving service by the performance of Harinam Sankirtan in this transcendental dham of Vrindavan. 24-hour Kirtan member or 24-hour Kirtan Mandali forever. So he, Raindra Prabhu, he reinstated Harinam Sankirtan in our movement. He was certainly Mahaprabhu's very, 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 very dear, empowered representative. He was not just externally performing Harinam Sankirtan. Internally, he was also developing Braj Bhav, Manjari Bhav, his depth in his Harikatha. So, anyway, our lives become blessed by remembering such great souls. So, on this sthiti, we want to offer our obeisances to Vakreshwar Pandit and beg him for giving us the purity to dance to Krishna's ever-changing plans, the purity to go deeper in our study of Bhagavatam, the mood of being pure, purified from Vaishnava Parad, the pure faith at the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. And at the same time, we beg our Indra Prabhu for four things. First, we beg him for taste in the holy name, japa and kirtan. May we follow his example. May we not try to be Kirtaniya celebrities. May we not try to be Kathakars and celebrities. May we be like Raindra Prabhu, unsung hero, singing all day and night in 86, 87, 88, 89, 90 when no one knew him. Absolutely no one knew him. Our Vrindavan Prabhu, the Mridanga player of Raindra Prabhu, says this story that one time when he was traveling with Raindra Prabhu on a flight, there was one Gurukuli girl, one Mataji, who came to Raindra Prabhu and said, "Oh, who are you? And where are you from?" So he said, "I am from Vrindavan." He said, "Oh, what service do you do there?" He said, "I serve in the 24-hour kirtan." So that Mataji immediately said that, "Oh, you serve with Raindra Prabhu." So he said, "No, I am Raindra Prabhu. I am Raindra Das." So he was such an unsung, unseen behind the curtain hero that people knew his kirtans, people knew Raindra Prabhu, but they may not have even seen him. And the personality and the name, you know, because if you hear him sing, he has a Indian Bengali style of singing. Even Madhav Prabhu mentions that the first time he saw Raindra Prabhu when he came from Mauritius, it was difficult for him to believe that the person he was hearing and the person whom he was seeing is the same, because Raindra Prabhu has an American body, American Brijbasi body, but his singing doesn't sound American. So like that, Raindra Prabhu, four things we beg Raindra Prabhu is one, chanting the holy name selflessly and not begging anything through the holy name. We don't want anything else. We don't want to use Harinam or Kirtan or Katha to get any other fruit. We want to see Hari Kirtan, Hari Katha as the fruit of our life. Point number one. Second, we beg Raindra Prabhu to have taste in Vrindavan Dham. Visiting Vrindavan Dham and eventually living in Vrindavan Dham and ultimately dying in Vrindavan Dham. The third thing we beg Raindra Prabhu is taste in deity worship. Raindra Prabhu had unlimited taste in deity worship. 2000 Shaligram Srilas, his Nitai, Shachi, Sutta. Our Arani Vihari Prabhu mentions how much taste he had, our Raindra Prabhu had for his deities. When the 9/11 incident took place, the Twin Towers were destroyed and everyone was speaking about it. Raindra Prabhu smiled and he looked at his Gaur Nitai and he said, "I wish no terrorist ever attacks my Twin Towers." Gaur Nitai. My Gaur Nitai are my Twin Towers, like that. So we beg him to have more faith in deity worship and in the Bhagavatam. And finally, fourth and most important, we beg Raindra Prabhu to have humility that he had, where he would clean public toilets of the Brahmachari Ashram. He personally recreated his whole room. And his whole room, Gopal Prabhu, the Mridanga player, explains that Raindra Prabhu's whole room was a mini Krishna Balaram Mandir. He had Gaur Nitai, he had Krishna Balaram in the form of his Govardhan Shilas, and he also had Radha Gopi Jana Vallabha. So that was like Gaur Nitai, Krishna Balaram, Radhe Sham of the temple. And at the same time, on the floor, he had cow dung, on the dust of Braj, and then he had a piece of the tamal tree in the courtyard of Krishna Balaram Mandir. So he had recreated the whole temple courtyard in his room. And he would say, I'm sleeping in the courtyard and living under the tamal tree in the mood of a Goswami chanting the holy name, following the instructions of Prabhupada in front of God Nitai Krishna Balaram Radhesha. So we beg him for that humility, because he would live in his room, he would go to the bathroom and he would go for his service down to the temple, come back to his room, to the bathroom and to the temple. Again, come back to his room, to the bathroom and to the temple. He never even left the compound. You know, maybe sometimes occasionally to maybe fetch some things for his deities. But invariably he would send someone to get something, some vegetables, etc. for his deities. If he has to buy something specifically, then he would go. But it's like for 25 years, this sadhu never left and never went anywhere except his room, the temple courtyard, and the restroom. He was so humble, he would clean all these brahmachari toilets. And when he was asked once, he said, isn't the toilet in Vrindavan Dham? Isn't the toilet part of the temple? Isn't it Krishna Balaram Mandir temple property? Isn't it my father Srila Prabhupada's property? Is this not Dham Seva? And in this mode, he would have the humility to clean the public toilets. And he would not just recreate his room. He had also made bunk beds for all the devotees in the Brahmachari Ashram, the 24-hour Kirtan, so that they could perform their service well. So these are the four things that we beg Indra Prabhu. Nam Nishtha, Dham Nishtha, Thakurji and Bhagavat Nishtha, and Dainya Bhav. So may Vakreshwar Pandit Prabhu and Sripada Indra Prabhu bless us with these four qualities each. And may we never forget Indra Prabhu, who is the saint who walked past us. Thank you, dear devotees. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpataru bhyascha kripaya sindhubhyo cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. We can take any questions if possible, if there are any.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam of Goshtha Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very, very nectarian class. We are very fortunate to have you on the call, Prabhuji. Very, very grateful to you. Hare Krishna.
Sripada Indra Prabhu ki jai.
Anybody has any question, they can quickly go ahead. They can unmute themselves.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, go
Hare
ahead.
Krishna, Prabhu.
There is a Mataji also asking, so we'll give preference to a Mataji, then we'll take the Prabhu. Yes, there was a feminine voice.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Every time we hear your class, we think this is the best. And then that continues the feeling. So I pray to the Lord that may you continue like this, you know, beating your best classes for eternity. So my question is on the Gaur Gannodesh Deepika. Please forgive me if it's offensive to ask this question. So since this is the only book where the Swarupa of the associates are revealed, has he mentioned that how he wrote this? Was it a revelation, or just wanted to know? I haven't read that book, but is there a mention in that how Kavi Karnapur is making these connections? Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Actually, Kavi Karnapur is a very, very great soul, as far as even not just from his spiritual standing, but even as far as his articulating ability and his poetic ability is concerned. We know Kavi Karnapur as a child, he sucked the toe of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As a child, he crawled his way and held the lotus toe of Sriman Mahaprabhu and started sucking. And it's described that as soon as he started sucking the toe of Sriman Mahaprabhu, he started chanting ecstatic Sanskrit verses glorifying Sri Krishna. There is a book that Kavi Karnapur has written called as Alankar Kaustubha, where he has explained such intricate, detailed explanations of the Sanskrit poetic language, poetic usages. He has described different types of anupras alankar. He has described different kinds of other descriptions also. So it's called as Alankara Kaustubha, the ornament, the jewel of embellishments. So there, it's a very technical book with a different usage of Sanskrit grammar. And he has also very beautifully given examples from Krishna conscious perspective of every, like he will make a point that this repetition, for example, just like what we call in, you know, what we call as alliteration, for example, in English is anupras in Sanskrit. So he will give different types of anupras. And for each of these types, he will give a Krishna conscious example. Radharani speaking to Krishna, Krishna speaking to Radharani, or Sakhas speaking to Krishna. So like that, he gives examples. So very scholarly and very, very devotional in his heart. That is as far as Alankar Kaustubha is concerned. Kavikaranapur has also written the very great Chaitanya Chandrodaya Natak. Is somebody's mic unmute? Thank you. So he has also explained in his Chaitanya Chandrodaya Natak a very, very beautiful description of Sriman Mahaprabhu in a very scholarly way. So that personality who has mapped the associates of Mahaprabhu to the associates of Chaitanya to Sri Krishna is a great soul. So he's speaking from revelation. This is also called as Samadhi Bhasha. Oftentimes this question is asked that how do acharyas know in Shastra? Who has told them? So just like in radio, we know when we tune to a certain frequency, everybody tuned to that frequency can hear the same sound, right? So when we were young, of course, in Mumbai, I don't know here, but when we were young, this our friends used to be, classmates used to be very, very attached to hearing movie songs on the FM, on the phone. So even when they're traveling in the bus, they would hear. So they would have different stations, frequency stations, so radio stations. So when you tweak it before and you tweak it after, it's not so clear. But when you tweak it to the right frequency, everyone hearing that frequency will hear very clearly the same sound. So externally, they're not talking to each other. They're in the same bus, but they're all tuned to the same frequency so they can hear the same sound. Similarly, great souls, this is called Samadhi Bhasha. Great souls on the power of their bhajan. Bhajatam priti purvakam dadhami buddhi yogam tam yena mamupayantite. Krishna reveals in the heart. And they all being connected to that same frequency of pure, undeviated, unmotivated, uninterrupted, unconditional devotion to Sri Hari, they can be in complete rapt attention to that specific frequency of devotional absorption and revelations take place. Like for example, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, he talks about Nityananda Prabhu taking Jiva Goswami for a parikrama. Now somebody could say, where did Bhaktivinoda Thakur know this? You know, like Nityananda Prabhu taking Jiva Goswami, how does he know? So the answer is, we must see the personality on three characteristics. We must see on the level of his devotional spirit. Has he deviated from the line of acharyas? Has he deviated from the pristine teachings of the parampara? Second, we must see on his intellectual ability as far as when he articulates things. Is he articulating those things with lack of understanding of that language, lack of understanding of that subject matter? Because somebody could be very devotional, but still their expressions could have, just like it is said, Tadvak visargo janataga viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abadhyavatyapi. So great souls, even when they are erupting in ecstasy in their heart, there could be some apparent mistakes in their construction. So we must see the person who is saying all this. Is he someone who doesn't know, therefore he is making mistakes, or he is faltering because of gadgad, because of ecstasy? So if his heart is empty, lack of devotion, and he is very good in that language, still there is something wrong. If his heart is full in Krishna consciousness, and even if there are apparent mistakes, there is everything perfect, because that is because of gadgad. But here, Kavikaranapur, we see he is expert in the language also without any mistakes. He is expert in his devotional spirit also. Yet the third characteristic is Dainya Bhav. How much humility have they amassed? Are they writing all this to get it published, to get some name and fame and recognition in this world? Is Bhaktivinoda Thakur cooking up a story in Navadvip Dham Mahatmya that Nityananda Prabhu took Jiva Goswami around for a parikrama so that everybody will give him some Pulitzer Prize? Or is Kavikaranapur doing this for some publishing, some printing and publishing agenda to be like a bestseller or something? Absolutely not. The six Goswamis, they were writing on palm leaves. Rupa Goswami's Padyavali is actually a collection of many, many verses. And many of those verses, more than 370 verses you see, but most of those verses, if you see, they're anonymous. They're just written. And Samsiddhir Hari Toshanam. So 3 points. They are great devotees. They are experts in their language without any flaws. And third, which means they're so the content is perfect. The presentation is perfect. And the intention is perfect. They are doing this, Samsiddhir Hari Toshanam. Whether someone reads it or doesn't read it, so they are doing it as an offering to Krishna on the basis of the Samadhi Bhasha that has been revealed in their heart on the basis of the chanting and seva. So we can see that consistency. If there is someone writing a book like Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, and then later he's seen to be deviating from spiritual principles with a sexual fall down or with some other agenda, then we can definitely see that this could be a mental speculation in that heart, in that person's mind. But when great souls who have conquered Krishna in their heart, they speak, it is out of Samadhi Bhasha. They are all tuned to that same frequency. Everybody is tuned to that same frequency. All the great acharyas in that specific line, in that specific mood of bhajan, they are tuned to that same frequency. So in that way, they can in fact even seek inspiration. We say that Rupa Goswami's Avesh avatar is Vishwanath Chakravarti. And Jeev Goswami's Avesh avatar is Baldev Vidyabhushan. We sometimes see and we mention that. And we see Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writing commentaries to Rupa Goswami's works. Like when Rupa Goswami wrote Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, our Vishwanath Chakravarti writes Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu. And when Rupa Goswami writes Ujjwal Neelamani, our Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes Ujjwala Neelamani Kiran, that ray of light coming from that blue sapphire stone. When Rupa Goswami writes Bhagavatamrita, in the form of Laghu Bhagavatamrita, then our Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes Bhagavatamrita Kana, a small atomic particle of that Bhagavatamrita. So in this way, we can see that how is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writing commentary to Rupa Goswami? Who knows whether that was the intention of Rupa Goswami? How is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Bhagavad Gita writing that at this point, Krishna and Arjuna wanted to have a conversation? So between verses, he will say that they're having a conversation. Krishna said this, so Arjuna started thinking. Well, somebody could say this is just a mental speculation of Vishwanath Chakravarti. But from the life of Vishwanath Chakravarti, we know undeviated spiritual principles, great command over the language that he's expressing without any flaws. He's not a fool. And third, he's doing that for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord without any printing and publishing intention. So he's doing that Samsiddhir Hari Toshanam. If the intention is right, the presentation is right, and the content is right, then we must be convinced this is Samadhi Bhasha. But if that person is saying that I had a dream, in the dream this happened, in that dream that happened, and next day he's found to see eating popcorn and seeing a soccer match on the day of Gaur Purnima, then you know that that dream was simply a superimposition, mental superimposition of his inner samskars or impressions of what he has seen. So these are my thoughts. But senior Vaishnavas may kindly add and correct my understanding.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhu, this is Dinanath Mahaprabhu Das from Mumbai. So I have a question.
First of all, Prabhuji, first of all, we all thank you profusely. It is our Dinanath Mahaprabhu Prabhuji from Mumbai who regularly uploads the videos of His Grace Anand Vrindavan
Prabhu, please don't.
Which devotees around the world are seeing. Devotees in Australia and America, they are seeing every upload of Anand Vrindavan Prabhu's priceless, heart-wrenching, hardcore realizations in life. So Prabhu, we really want to thank you for this wonderful service that you are performing. May Krishna profusely bless you to perform this service. So that Prabhuji's deep, devotional, desperate, helpless call to Krishna to leave this world and to be with Krishna and to see Krishna's hand in real life. May this message go far and wide. We really want to thank you before we take your question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
I hope I keep serving. Prabhu, I have a question that, as you mentioned, that we are supposed to pray that if Krishna so desire, not like as we are supposed to pray like that, but Prabhu, I feel that we don't have anyone else in our lives. Like, we have only Radha Krishna in our life. So they are the only parents we have. Like, so don't we directly, you know, approach them, and don't we directly express our direct prayers that I want this, or maybe like whatever it is, like directly we can, is it not right to, you know, directly straight away express our whatever prayer we have? So is it a wrong, or we just follow the what our guru has said or our seniors have said? So I just, can you just clarify this?
Hare Krishna. So it depends on what level the devotee is at, Prabhuji. It really depends on the level of the devotee. First principle is to have ananya sharanagati. Devarshi bhutaptan dranam pitrunam na kinkaram nayam ranicha rajan sarvatmanaya sharanam sharanyam gato mukunda pariritya kartam. First of all, to take ananya sharanagati of Sri Krishna, which means we give up the feet of godmen in this world. We give up the feet of, ultimately, even the lotus feet of the demigods. Yanti deva vrata devan pitran yanti pitra vrata bhutani yanti bhutejja yanti madhyaji nopima. All the different shelters that we have, we give it up and we take shelter of Krishna. This is level one. Now level two there is, when you approach Krishna, do it tivrena. Whether it is akama, sarvakama, moksha kama, whether it is I want this, it should be like this, or I wish like this, or I don't know if it is right, you kindly tell me what is right. All these levels may be there. May you kindly fulfill my material desires, or maybe you free me from my material desires. Akama, someone who's selfless. Sarvakama, who's selfish. Mokshakama, who wants freedom from problems. Whatever may be the situation, tivrena bhakti yogena. Look only towards your father and not towards your neighbor. That is the principle. Child wants balloon, he must go to the father, not to the neighbor. So what you're saying is perfectly correct. Whatever we want, we should go and tell Krishna that this is what I want, my Lord. But when Krishna gives it to us, it is described, when Krishna actually gives it to us, my Guru Maharaj says something very, very interesting. He says the difference between demigod and demigods and the Supreme Lord is this, that demigods give us what we ask. They work on business. You have done this bhajan, not bhajan, because bhajan means bhakti, and bhakti is when Krishna is the vishay. Upasana, let's call it aradhana upasana. Upasana, sitting close and worshipping, better word. When we perform the upasana of Devi Devata, they consider this as a business transaction. So you have worshipped me, therefore I must give you whatever you want and fulfill your desires. But when we come to Krishna, Krishna doesn't do that. Ama bhaje vishay mage ei bada murkh. Ami vidnya ei murkhe vishay kene diba. Nija charanamrita diye vishay bhulaiba. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Kaviraj Goswami quotes, that Krishna, he doesn't give us what we ask. He will give us what is good for us. So if we are asking something that is good for us, then Krishna will give it to us. But if we are asking something which is not good for us, Krishna will not give it to us, because he actually loves us. The demigods don't have direct sambandha with us. Therefore, they deal on a business transaction. But Krishna has a sambandha. Sarva yoneshu kaunteya murtaya sambhavantyaha. Tasam Brahma Mahat Yoni Aham Bija Pradapita. Mama Ivamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhutasana. Mama Eva, Krishna says, only me. You belong only to me, to no one else. So demigods don't have that mamata for the Jiva. But Krishna has it. The child may say, Dad, I want to touch fire. The father shows love to the child by not letting him touch that fire. Right? So if something is good for us, Krishna will give it to us. And if something is not good for us, how much ever we hit our legs on the floor, he will not give it to us. My Guru Maharaj says, this is what is the difference between demigod and Krishna. Vibhishana offered one obeisance to Ramchandra, and Ramchandra gave Lanka. And that same Lanka Lord Shiva gave to Ravana after 10 heads were offered. So look at the conversion, reciprocative business transaction rates. Look at the conversion rates. The cost-benefit analysis. Let's do the cost-benefit analysis here. One obeisance is the cost and the benefit is Lanka. Apart from the embrace of Ram. But there the cost is 10 heads. And the benefit is Lanka. but of course, departure by the hands of Sri Ram. So the demigods deal with in a mood of duty, and Krishna does it with his sweet beauty. He does it with his love. So he will not give something that is not good for us. Now here is an interesting thing. What does Krishna do when we ask for something like that? Krishna, he fulfills the desire in such a way that we will never ask that desire again. Yad pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya. It has been described very beautifully in the Bhagavatam. Shrotrum ganastamaranam bhajavasudevam. Krishna, when he places and he plays with the lotus toe like leaf-like lotus toes on the heart of the jiva, then all those leaks from where those material desires are coming, they're all sealed. So in India, when the pipes have a break, you call it M-seal. But transcendentally, we call it as the Mukunda seal. Sri Krishna, Mukunda, he seals the heart of all those holes where material desires are popping up. He gives himself. Nija charanamrita diye vishai bhulaiva. He gives himself and then makes us forget that material desire. So we can ask Krishna, no problem. But Krishna will not give if it is not good for us. And if he gives it in such a way, it will be in such a way that we will be able to see, oh, why did I even ask for this? It's not working out well for me. This is one thing. Also, another thing is, when we say, can't we go and ask Krishna? Another thought is, do we even know how to ask and what to ask? When we go in front of Bill Gates, Bill Gates says, what do you want? I can give you. We say, das das ka chutta hai kya? If you give a 20 rupee note and we say, oh, can I have 10 ka chutta? Can I have a change for 20 by giving? Can you give me two notes of 10 rupees each for this 120 rupee note? This is what we'll ask Bill Gates, because we don't know how great he is. We are asking him depending on our present problem. I'm not getting a change for 20 rupees. Therefore, I'm asking two notes of 10 rupees each. But if you know how great Bill Gates is, if he writes something in our account, forget about the, you can give this 20 rupees in charity and you can keep other things. So we don't even know the position of Krishna. We don't even know what to ask him. It's almost like Saraswati Thakur says, it's almost like going to a king and the king says, I can give you 5 bags of gold coins. And we say, no, just give me ashes from a dead man's body in the crematorium. This is all that I want. So we don't even know what is actually the position of Krishna and what he can actually give me. We are so busy asking him what I actually want. So the best thing to ask is, Krishna, whatever is good for me, please give me. Whichever situation will bring me close to you, please do that. So in that way, Krishna has to calculate, not us. When we go to a king and we say, I want ashes of a dead man's body, that's what we will get. But if you go to the king and you just stand there, the king will give at least 5 or 10 bags of gold coins from his standpoint. So Krishna will always give us more than what we are expecting and what we are desiring. So we should go like an empty vessel so that Krishna can fill it up with his mercy. So it is not wrong to go and ask Krishna, but the highest standard as far as business, Prabhuji, you're a Gujarati. Let's talk about profit now. Let's talk about business profit. When we want more profit in our life, the conversion rate must be high. We go to Krishna and say, aap ginti karo. You do. Aapko jaise lage, aap karo. So accordingly, the rate, conversion rate will be higher. You know, so in this way, we should always spiritually, Jai Krishna bhaje, se bada chatur. Somebody who worships Krishna is very, very intelligent. Krishna's devotee always thinks about minimum input and maximum output. Think about it. With this body, which is temporary, which is not sat, which is not chit, this body is dull, sharira avidya jal, and it is not ananda, it is dukhalayam ashashvatam, it is a sagara. Bada dukhamay. So this body which is not sat, it is not chit and not ananda, a devotee with that body does bhajan to catch Krishna who's Satchit Ananda. So isn't that maximum profit? Mm-hmm. With temporary, you're getting maximum, permanent. With dead matter, you're getting Chinmay Swarup. And with Dukkha Sharir, Dukkhamay Sharir, you're getting Ananda Swarup. So with minimum input, we are getting maximum profit output. Therefore, a devotee is the best businessman. Therefore, even in our situations, if we want maximum profit in spiritual advancement, we go to Krishna and we tell him, whatever you decide. This is what I desire, but I know, my Lord, this may be wrong for me. Maybe this is not right for me. It may do more harm to me. You kindly decide whatever you desire, may that happen. So it depends on the gradual elevation of our consciousness.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dinanath Prabhu. This can be the last question for today.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, kya main Hindi mein baat kar sakti?
हाँ जी माता जी पूछिए
प्रभुजी एक्चुअली जब हम नाम जप करती हूँ ना मैं तो मैं एक्चुअली ये जो पंच तत्व का संकीर्तन है उसमें मन लगाना चाहती हूँ दैट इज इट राइट और रॉन्ग
ये बहुत सुंदर प्रश्न है इसके लिए मुझे कम से कम आधे घंटे लगेंगे बोलने के लिए पर मैं इसको पांच मिनट में कहने का प्रयास करता हूँ
जी जी
तो श्रीपाद आइंद्र प्रभु का संदर्भ है श्रीपाद आइंद्र प्रभु के विषय में हम बोल रहे हैं और ये प्रश्न बहुत सुंदर है क्योंकि आइंद्र प्रभु का इस प्रश्न पर एक बहुत सुंदर मत है और मैं वो आज भक्तों के समक्ष यहाँ इज इट ओके इफ आई आंसर इट इन हिंदी
यस प्रभु यस प्रभु यस
आई थिंक अदर देयर मे बी डिवोटीज हु मे नॉट अंडरस्टैंड हिंदी
या प्रभु जी सम डिवोटीज डोंट अंडरस्टैंड
Yes, Prabhuji, you can answer in English. I am only questioning in Hindi. Thank you so much.
So just for record purpose, the question is, Mataji is asking, when I chant the holy name, I like to keep the picture of Panchatattva dancing Panchatattva, and I would like to meditate on that form while chanting Japa. Is that okay? So I said, this is a very beautiful question. It will take about 30 minutes, but I'll try to finish in about 5 to 7 minutes. Aindra Prabhu was asked this question and Aindra Prabhu has a very, very beautiful opinion on this point. So it falls perfectly in place of our discussion. Shripad Aindra Prabhu would quote and say that this is not mental speculation or this is not to give some unnecessary or unscrupulous interpretation on the holy name. Aindra Prabhu would say, Prabhupada in the introduction to teachings of Lord Chaitanya and Prabhupada in the introduction of Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions this point that Brajendra Nandan Jay Shachi Suta Hoilo Se Balaram Hoilo Nitai, that the son of Nanda Maharaj and Maya Yashoda Shri Krishna has appeared as the son of Jagannath Mishra and Shachi Mata as Sriman Mahaprabhu. So Krishna of Dwapar has become Mahaprabhu in Kali. Similarly, Balaram of Dwapar has become Nityananda Prabhu in Kali. So therefore, it is not wrong to understand. And then Prabhupada writes, therefore, in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Krishna could refer to Krishna Chaitanya and Rama could refer to Nityananda Balaram. Which means in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, it is perfectly bona fide to think about Gaur Nityananda. Absolutely, absolutely perfect. In fact, Aindra Prabhu says one must, because he says that when you chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Hare could refer to Hari, and Hari is Gaur Hari. So Hare could be Gaura, and Krishna is Krishna Chaitanya, and Krishna Chaitanya is Gaura, and Rama is Radha Ramana, and Radha Ramana, when they come together, that is Gaura. So literally all the 16 words of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Aindra Prabhu would say, they become Gaura, 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 Gaura. So we are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But in the mind, we are praying to Shachi Nandan Gaur Hari. So Aindra Prabhu would say that who's more merciful, Krishna or Krishna Nam? Krishna Nam is more merciful than Krishna. But who's more merciful, Krishna or Gaura? Gaura is more merciful. Because Aindra Prabhu would say that Krishna is busy in his pastimes, but Gauranga Mahaprabhu is ready to pull up his sleeves and put his hand into the sewage of Kali Yuga to pull up the ants. You know, sometimes when we see some insect drowning or, you know, trying to escape, we pull our sleeves and put our hand down. So our hands may get dirty, but we think I can wash it off later, but the life of this jiva is more important. So he said, Mahaprabhu is like that. Krishna and Krishnanam, Krishnanam more merciful. But Krishna and Gauranga, Gauranga more merciful. So if Krishna Naam is more merciful than Krishna, so Gaur Naam is more merciful than Gaura, right? So he says, when you say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and you think of Gaura, then it appears to be Krishna Naam. It sounds like Krishna Naam, but the thought is on Gauranga, therefore it is actually Gaur Naam. And that Gaur Naam will uplift our consciousness because Jai Gaurangira Naam Lai, Tar Hoi Prem Udai. Those who chant Gaur Naam, Prem will rise in their heart. And also, it is described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, Gaur Naam, Gaur Dham, Gaur Rupa Gun, Aparada Nahi Mani Tarite Nipun. That the name of Gauranga Mahaprabhu doesn't consider our offenses. Krishna Naam Kori Aparadira Vichar. When we chant Krishna Naam, there is Dasha Naam Aparad. But Gaur Naam, there is no Naam Aparad. So, someone could say, well, let's just sit and chant Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga every day. Well, we could. But that Gauranga, that Pranath of our hearts, he has told us to chant Hare Krishna. Kaviraj Goswami says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jai Shrotragan Yar Gaur Pranathan. All glories to those readers of the Chaitanya Charitamrita who have made Gauranga their Pranadhan. So our Pranadhan, Gauranga, has said chant Hare Krishna. Therefore, we are chanting Hare Krishna, but we are still gaining the Gaur Naam benefit. This is interesting. If you chant Hare Krishna, thinking of Krishna, then you're chanting Krishna Naam, and there are offenses that we have to be aware of. 10 offenses we have to escape from. But if you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, and think of Gaura, Gaur Nitai, then what is happening? It's sounding like Krishna Naam, but it's actually Gaur Naam, which means no offenses. Aparada Nahimani. It's Nama Abhas. And then if you cry, calling out to Gauranga Mahaprabhu, even if it's crocodile tears, start with some genuine tears. You know, genuine tears in the sense tears because of some genuine situation in life. And calling out to Krishna. It may not be crying with love for Krishna, but some problem in life or any situation in life, you want to share something with Krishna. I'm not able to cry. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, cry. But if you're not able to cry, cry that you're not able to cry. Our Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj, Simha Guru, he would say, hit your head against the wall, let it bleed and cry for Gaur Nitai. So that's another extreme of emphatic calling out to Mahaprabhu. So it's perfectly right. In fact, our Ayendra Prabhu would have a Panchatattva on his harmonium. So he would look at Krishna Balaram and Radhe Shyam as he would do Kirtan. But when he would look at his harmonium, he would have a Panchatattva there. So the best thing to do, Ayendra Prabhu says, is to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But in the mind, think of Gaur Nitai or Panchatattva. Because just like Brajendra Nandan Jai Shachisuta Hoilo say, Balaram Hoilo Nitai, similarly, we could say Radharani has become Gadadhar Pandit. Gadai Hoilo say. Radha Jai Gadai Hoilo say. The Radharani has become Gadadhar Pandit. So Gadadhar is Gadai. So literally this Hare Krishna Mahamantra turns out to be Gadai Gaur, Gadai Gaur, 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 Gadai, Gadai, Gaur, Nitai, Gaur, Nitai, 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 Gaur, Gaur. If you take that Hare to be Hara or Radha, who's become Gadadhar Pandit, then Krishna is of course Gauranga. And in the bottom, that Hare is Hari, who's Gaur Hari, and Rama is Nityananda Ram. So Gadai Gaur, Gadai Gaur, 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 Gadai, Gadai, Gaur, Nitai, Gaur, Nitai, 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 Gaur, Gaur. This is the conception of chanting. The tongue is still saying Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. We're not saying Gadai Gaur to the tongue, but in our heart, we are praying to Gaur Nitai. We are praying to Jai Shachinandan Gaur Hari. So it's not just, so Mataji's question is it okay? It's not just okay, it's actually prescribed by Ayendra Prabhu. That we should chant in that conception of calling out to Panchatattva. So I hope Mataji just answers your question.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, ek aur thoda sa, jaise hum ye naam jab karte rehte to beech mein interruption aa jata hai, kabhi kuch yaad aata hai, kabhi kuch yaad. Fir thode wo ho jati hai ki hum isse hatte kyun hai, lagatar kyun nahi dhyan padta is pe, lagatar hum concentration se kyun nahi kar pate hain.
Jahan prem hota hai, wahan Nirantarta hoti hai Mataji. So the question is why we are getting distracted and why there's no continuity. Well, continuity is there wherever there is affection. There's no distraction when we are thinking of our child. We have affection for our child. So now distraction is there because we don't have love for Krishna. But doesn't matter. Utite, boshite, khaite, shuite, jatha, tatha, naam lo. That in all situations, even if we have no taste, even if there is interruptions, even if there is distraction, Krishna, the mind is contaminated because of past prarabdha or because of past samskars, but I will continue to chant. Main naam jap karte rahunga, I will not deviate. So by doing our best, Krishna will shower his mercy. When he showers his mercy, we get a great Vaishnav in our life. When we get a great Vaishnava in our life, we, in that sadhu sangha, in that anugate, in that ananya sharanagati, we perform Vaishnava seva and sadhu sangha, and with that, bhaktistu bhagavad bhakta sangena parijayate. From the heart of that great Vaishnava, bhakti rises in the heart of the listener. So that is my response to this question. I think it is close to 10 o'clock now. Yes, Mataji. Thank you so much. It's about close to... Yes, Mataji? Okay. It's close to 10 o'clock now. So I don't want to keep the devotees waiting in case we've not had breakfast. So we would like to, in the interest of time, offer the call back to our Shyama Gauri Mataji and other devotees on the call. Please kindly forgive me for speaking over 2.5 hours. Got lost, but whatever inspiration my heart received from Srila Guru Maharaj, the Guru Parampara, and Sri Krishna ultimately, I tried to share about Vakreshwar Pandit and Sripada Indra Prabhu and in the answers. But my superiors on the call, please kindly accept whatever good was there and offer your kind blessings and prayers for me. And whatever mistakes are there, you can kindly forgive me and kindly offer more blessings and prayers so that I can overcome those flaws. If there are mistakes that I said, which according to Siddhanta is wrong, you can kindly even bring that to my attention so that next time that question is asked or that point is raised, I will know how to answer them. I will know how to respond to them. I will know how to express and present them. So please kindly feel free to correct. I would be very, very happy to learn.
Thank you very, very much, Prabhuji. Very, very beautiful, beautiful class. And thank you so much for your time. And thank you so much for enlightening class, Prabhuji. Let's pay our obeisances to all the Vaishnavas and Prabhuji. Vancha kalpatarubhyasya kripa sindhu bhevacha patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namah ananta koti Vaishnavarunda ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shriman Vakreshwar Pandit Prabhu ki jai, Shira Aindra Prabhu ki jai, His Grace Amarendra Prabhu ki jai.
Gaur Pramanande.
Thank you so much.